mostly sunny with a high near 90. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 68 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 69, both under clear skies. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
We are people of all ages, from different walks of life. We have hopes and dreams, but live in a reality filled with pain. We are the family and friends of alcoholics. We struggle to keep the peace, to make things right. But our lives are not our own. They are controlled by someone else's drinking. We may be different, but we have one thing in common. We want our lives back. If you need help, call Al-Anon and Alateen at 1-888-4-ALANON or visit our website at www.alanon.alateen.org. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
Steve Largent, President and CEO of CTIA, the Wireless Association.
These days, drivers face all kinds of distractions.
Welcome to Wonder Burger. Can I take your order, please?
I'll have a double cheeseburger, a large...
Come on now, boys. You're going to have to settle down. It's really hard to concentrate with you fighting like that.
Before your wireless phone becomes a distraction, stop. Drive safely. Never take notes or look up phone numbers while you drive. In bad traffic or weather, save your call for later. Dial sensibly and use a hands-free device.
Sorry, it's really bad out. I've got to hang up.
You know, your wireless phone can be your best safety tool to call for help, stop a crime, or help someone in need. However you use it, remember, with wireless, safety is your call.
The wireless industry reminds you to drive safely. For more information, visit www.wirelesssafety.org.
My baby was born too early, and now he's struggling to stay alive. He's such a trooper. I know they're doing everything they can to save him.
More and more babies in America are being born dangerously early. So early their lives hang in the balance. Despite the best medical care, thousands don't get through the first month. Premature birth is growing at an alarming rate in the United States. One in every eight births. For decades, the March of Dimes has saved babies by funding medical breakthroughs and by fighting for all babies to have access to the care they need. Help us stop the crisis of premature birth. For information or to help, go to marchofdimes.com. The baby we save may be your own.
20 years ago, my son wouldn't have survived. Now, he has a fighting chance.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, tell my sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, tell my sister.
For us to use our power. Please do not beg, hope, Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
Welcome, 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 welcome. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to give me a call, you can do it at 1-877-920-WGNU. Ooh, goodness, we have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to have the president of Now on the program a little later this morning, because that's how we roll. We're going to talk about Sandra Day O'Connor and her retirement. What that means, what we should be looking out for, how that is going to, what we should be doing in the light of Sandra Day O'Connor's retirement. So the president of Now, Kim Gandy, is going to be joining us on our show once again. It's always good to have her here. We're going to also be doing our Looking Black segment at 7 o'clock. There's much business. We have much business to tend to, and we're going to get some of that done. Let me get to a car phone right quick here. Car phone, Scott.
Yeah. Someone last night said that Al-Qaeda targeted Paris at one time, and I looked it up. I Googled it, and the only thing that I can see is that there was some group that left some bombs on some railroads. They never blew up the bombs, and no one was hurt, no one was killed, and they were trying to extort money. So,
what was the reason why that was part of the discussion?
Because the corporate media hasn't, probably will never ask this question, but why did Al Qaeda target London instead of Paris?
Mm-hmm.
And, and this person said, well, they did target Paris, and I don't know, maybe the person was just incompetent, he may not have been lying, accused him of lying. Maybe he was just incompetent.
What is the significance of the fact that they didn't target London? I mean, didn't target Paris. What's the significance?
Well, because France didn't kill 100,000 Iraqis.
Mm.
And London and Tony Blair did, you know. Mm. And I don't know. I mean, if Karl Rove was working for Osama, I think, you know, what he would say was, well, you know, Osama was trying to target the people that voted for Blair, and if he killed the wrong people, then that's collateral damage.
Mm.
So, you know, he could use the same excuse that we used, you know, and all they only killed about 50 people over there. We've killed 100,000 in Iraq, so there's a long way to go before it's even.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call, Scott.
Okay.
Another car phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Great. I just a quick call regarding the young man who killed the police officer over in Kirkwood. I'm not only concerned about his safety, but I had a chance to follow up on the story and just get some background, and I saw that his brother had a heart ailment and he was having a heart attack at the time, and the police were more concerned about finding Kevin than assisting his brother. And if indeed that is the case, I'm just not surprised, but concerned about how they wouldn't make sure his brother was okay before they so-called were trying to search for him for a parole violation.
I've heard another story. I've heard a couple of stories coming out of that case. I heard the story that people have told me, people have gotten information to me, that there was a phone call made, the police came over, and a phone call made about firecrackers. Police came over, this particular cop put his hands on the young boy and shook him, not knowing that the boy had a heart ailment. The boy went into the house, collapsed, and died. So the phone call was made to bring that same cop out there, and that's what happened.
Really?
Yeah, that I've heard that as well. I've heard that as well.
Well, I hope if he doesn't turn himself in, I just hope if he's not in the famous area, he's somewhere far away, because who knows what's going to happen to him once they get their hands on him.
It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing, and you know, and if that is true, if that means that there are a whole lot of victims in this. The mother who's lost two children, the wife that's lost her husband. It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. And if the story is true about the police officer putting his hands on the 12-year-old child,
right,
that's wrong too. That is absolutely wrong. That's absolutely wrong. And if it is true that this baby was lying there needing needing medical attention, and they were more and interested in focusing on the arrest of this 19-year-old for a probation violation, then that's wrong too.
Very wrong.
That's wrong too.
As an older brother, it's hard for him. It would be hard for me to check my emotions, and if you see someone really violating your little brother while your family pleads with the police officers to help them, it's very wrong. It's easy to say that he should have checked his emotions, don't get involved. No, but that's his little brother, so it's hard to really check those emotions at the time.
It's awful. It is an awful thing that so many people are dead. I mean, that there are so many people that are dead. It's awful. It's awful.
Take care of yourself,
Liz. All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Bill.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I hope the young man, he does turn himself in, but I hope someone goes with the young man, because these police are openly saying they're going to shoot him. They're out to kill this young man. So I hope someone can reach him. And
if he turns himself in, I don't have much hope of him once he gets in there. I don't have much hope. This is not a child that's going. I don't hold out much hope.
Well, either way, he's going to. I mean, they're going to get him to death either way. But I mean, you can't make an excuse for what happened. But I mean, I hope that someone does take someone with him when he turns himself in. They don't find him because they're looking to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. It's a tragedy. It is an absolute tragedy. It's tragedy.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. It's bad. It's bad. You know, this is, listen to what's happening in Iraq. A U.S. military medical team was attacked in Afghanistan, in the same region where all of those people were killed and called collateral damage or terrorists. And the same, and this is the quote that comes from the paper. I mean, from the U.S. military spokesperson. It is incredible to us that the enemy would attack our forces while we are providing innocent Afghans with health care. Huh? Y'all just went in there and bombed all these innocent people after the missing Navy SEALs. You called it collateral damage and terrorists. The president of Afghanistan said that the deaths of the civilians, including women and children, could not be justified. So, for a Lieutenant Colonel Jerry O'Hara to say that it is incredible to be attacked, no, it's not. It is not incredible that you were attacked. They don't trust you. You could be coming under there under a Red Cross banner and then pop out and kill. It's not, no, it is not incredible. It's tragically logical that trust has been broken. And that, remember, this is the story where the elder of an Afghan village sheltered one of the missing Navy SEALs. Got him home to his fellow fellow military folks. And then America came down, our government came down and bombed an Afghan village and killed 17 people, children and women, and called them terrorists. You think it's surprising that your people would be attacked? Come on. It's, you know, it's that mentality. That you are supposed to suck it up here. Any wrong that America does to you, you're supposed to suck it up and understand and allow it to happen. You're supposed to accept abuse, turn that frown into a smile, understand that mistakes are made on your side, tolerate illegal behavior by men with guns that have American clothes on. You're supposed to take that. It's that long ago. Understanding that brutish, abusive worldview that I'm doing this for your own good, take it. And excuse me and forgive me for any wrong that I make, because it's all about your good. And you'll never fight me back. That's twisted. That's a twisted worldview. And the Afghan people are saying no. 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 Heck no. Absolutely no. You can't keep abusing me and expect me to turn my frown upside down. That's sick, twisted, and illogical. And I'm not going to do it. Car phone.
Real quick, Ms. Brown, good morning.
Good morning.
It sounds like yesterday your intern is doing a fantastic job and pulling up some good information, so kudos to her.
And I'm going to have all my interns on, I believe it's next Monday at 7 o'clock, so you can meet and listen and get to know them.
Fantastic. Also, real quick, they were comparing the bombing in London yesterday to how the IRA used to bomb in London,
mm-hmm.
and they were saying that at least the IRA were civilized. They gave them a phone call before it happened. Who said that? This is what Aaron Brown said on CNN and all that kind of thing.
You've got to be kidding me.
I almost dropped my tongue. I say, how dare you put your lips together and say some crazy stuff like that? I can't believe it. They were civilized.
It's not about the crime. It's about those who stand accused of it.
That's right.
Civilized.
I don't know what made them think that a few forces in Afghanistan was going to do what Russia and other nations throughout history can do. They say that nations around the world have been trying to get in Afghanistan for 2,000 years, and this is going to be the first time that we succeeded. Have a good day, babe.
Take care of yourself. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. Wake up call. Get to me. Get to me. Yeah, baby. There's going to be some hard times.
Oh, she passed away. Sits on when I'm gone. Don't forget to pray, because there'll be hard times. Hard times, oh yeah, yeah. Who knows better than I? Well, I soon found.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Eastbound 70 between Blanchett Bridge and Earth City Expressway, there's an accident. The shoulder is blocked. There are no delays at this hour. Eastbound 70 between 94 and Blanchett Bridge, look for major road construction. Only two left lanes are getting through, and traffic is heavy from Hawk's Nest overpass to 5th Street. Northbound 55 between Merrimack, Loudoun, and Loughborough, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between Mraz Overpass and Saffington, no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor all the way into Brentwood Boulevard, look for no problems to report there as well. Northbound 270 at 44, traffic is easing this hour. Westbound 270 between Chain of Rocks Bridge and West Florissant, look for no problems to report. Westbound 255 from Coke to Lindbergh, everything's running smoothly. And the bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge. Traffic is flowing steady this hour. Westbound 64 at 5570 merge. No problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Everything looks good. And Highway K, a couple of miles south of Route 30 in Franklin County, there's a report of a house fire. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Make sure your car is ready for safe summer driving with Napa Truck Stop brake pads. Starting as low as $10.49, you'll get safe, reliable braking at a competitive price. Napa, get the good stuff. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly sunny today, high near 90. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. For Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 90. And Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And Sunday, you betcha, mostly sunny with a high in the 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
You don't have to travel to Washington, D.C. to visit the West Wing. Just listen to Herb Steck online at WGNU.net.
I am a child.
I am an adult.
I am 10 years old.
I am 37. No. 38 next week.
I'm in the fourth grade.
I sell financial planning services.
I found out that trees breathe too.
I make PowerPoint presentations.
I play football every day at 3:30 after school.
I also have this incredible young friend.
I love my mom and my dad. And tomorrow I get to see Rick. He's my friend too.
I am a mentor to a young man named Marquis.
Volunteer to help a young child do better in school. Mentor St. Louis, the largest volunteer organization in the St. Louis public schools, needs volunteer mentors. Go to mentorstlouis.org or call 314-531-2570 and let something wonderful happen.
Ricky and me are going to the zoo tomorrow.
Marquis always wants to see the monkeys.
They're not monkeys. They're apes. Monkeys have tails.
Oh, I did that.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
There's a bill, I understand, in the House of Commons that wants to give everybody in England an identification card with your fingerprint and your iris. And they want to charge $175 for it, approximately. English people are against it.
As well they should be.
I seen my first sign yesterday on the back of a truck in Peach, Bush, and Cheney. They've having trouble in their politics, and Mr. Blair is on the stand over there, too, having heck raised with him. Pretty convenient, this bombing, isn't it?
It's very, it's a very interesting timing piece.
An opportune time, exactly. I thought, am I the only one that sees this?
Mm.
And also, Israel doesn't want to let go of that land in Palestine down there. They're pretending they do.
It is going to be very interesting.
So I'm looking at this, and, you know, they said, well, they've got a source that came out and said it was announced that some Arab outfit did this. Well, you know, I can say anything and you can too. It doesn't mean it's true. And who announced that? Who put that out?
Mm.
And where's Mr. Bin Laden at? Have you ever seen him lately?
Mm. Thanks for your
You know what I'm talking about.
All right.
You don't hear anything about going after that guy.
That's right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Two things. Three things. Might be four things. I don't know. May not take any commercial breaks anymore. Iraq, and I'm wondering, did you hear about this? Iraq signed a military pact with Iran. Iraq signed a military pact with Iran on Thursday for a this is a breakthrough. They're agreeing to accept Iranian military training and other cooperation with the country that Iraq fought with, or that state. What's going on? You know, my enemy's enemy is now my friend? Is that what we have going on? Oh, there's going to be some coming together of people, but probably not the one that this administration wanted to come together. Iraq signed a pact with Iran. They're going to commingle their training, huh? Iraq is anxiously trying to improve its ties with other Muslim countries in order to win legitimacy and undermine resistance support. So they stepped out on Front Street and said, "Oh no, we're gonna roll with Iran. We're gonna roll with Iran." Pakistan withdrew its ambassador, and Iraq has signed a treaty, an agreement, an understanding with Iran. That's not good news for George W. Bush. First, he fell down on the bicycle. Couldn't keep his wigglies and wobblies in tow, and just toppled over a bicycle, ran into a cop. First, he fell off his bicycle. Iran is signing pacts with agreements with Iraq. Check this out. They said this hadn't been this. Bush is backing away from a recess appointment of Bolton. Remember John Bolton? Remember him trying to become head of the UN? And it looks like Bush is not going to do a recess appointment of Bolton. It looks like Bush may be walking away from Bolton. Huh? Could that be? Could that be? That Bush is walking away from Bolton? Check this out. While Bush has never ruled out a recess appointment, he had the Fourth of July recess to do it. He's had Fourth of July recess to do it. And the entire debate over Bolton has been overshadowed since Sandra Day O'Connor made her announcement. George W. Bush hadn't appointed his boy. And here are the words that are coming out of Bush's mouth now. My staff has done a lot of work. They continue today in work, and not only in reaching out to the Senate. What happened to the language of the Democrats are being obstructionists? Bush said that my staff is reaching out to the Senate, but also spending time making sure that all the candidates will be put forth in a proper way. What happened to the partisan stuff, Someone said, perhaps the Bush administration is trying to send a signal to Mr. Bolton that he should withdraw his name. You think? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my bag. I hope the Democrats don't. If they win on the Bolton piece, I hope they don't get to the place where they're like, okay, we won on the Bolton piece. Let's not be obstructionists, and let's fall over on the Supreme Court justice piece. Ooh, you're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
How are you this fine morning?
I'm outstanding.
Listen, I'm telling you, this mess over there, they line up through their teeth about everything. But I believe that this is one of those that the British did. And Tony Blair hadn't looked like he was surprised or shocked yet. When I saw him on television, he almost had a smirk. And when I saw George Bush, he did have a smirk. They knew about this. I don't believe that they didn't.
Mm.
And 9/11, and now the 9/11's coming out, and people are talking about he knew, and they the down the street memo, and now this previous caller said that he's seeing on bumper stickers impeach Bush. Oh my, a whole lot is going to happen, and isn't it ironic that it happened in London? Of all the other cities it could have happened in, why did it have to just be London?
All right.
You have a wonderful day.
Take care of yourself.
Oh, one other thing. I want to say. Why is it that the police have to be so great? I am so sick of hearing about this policeman and his family. What about the black family? And it just happened that one caller kind of brought to light what is really going down. Now, they're angry with this young black man, but young black teenager, because he's not a man yet. But they are trying to make the police look like he was just so great and so wonderful and so honorable, and I bet he was a terrorist in that neighborhood. They knew who they were after, and I bet he's been a terrorist to that neighborhood. And that's what I had to say.
Thanks for your call. Right. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
Basics of smoking meats, fowl, and fish with a kettle on Saturday, July 9th from noon to 2 p.m. The lesson takes place at the J. Hangus Shooting Range and Outdoor Education Center, 1100 Antire Road in High Ridge. Equipment, supplies, and wood selections will be discussed. Families are welcome. Sign up by Friday, July 8th by calling 636-441-4554. Something delicious from WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. The Iraq Ministry of Oil reports that a total of 315 attacks on oil facilities have taken place in the last 2 years, costing at least $12 billion in revenue. And this despite American assurances that the insurgency is being beaten down. One-third of those attacks have taken place this year alone. An oil ministry spokesperson says the attacks have diverted billions of dollars from development projects, but the country had to do it because oil is the main source of income for Iraq. The attacks have also resulted in shortages of oil products in Iraq itself, which has also had a direct negative effect on their economy. Oil production is currently running at about 2 million barrels a day, but experts say the country needs to be producing about 7 million barrels a day to bring its economic engine back to life. And Dateline London. A report today indicates British intelligence found out that yesterday's bombings in London were going to take place a short time before they actually happened, and that the first warning went out to Israel, which then managed to get a warning to Finance Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to remain in his hotel room instead of proceeding to a hotel near the site of the first explosion. He was in London to speak at an economic summit. Strangely enough, it was just last week when British Prime Minister Tony Blair made a statement on a BBC broadcast that there were several hundred high-risk individuals on the loose in England that were plotting or trying to commit terrorist acts. Both Israel and Scotland Yard are disavowing any prior knowledge about the attacks. The bombings on Thursday are likely to make it easier now for Prime Minister Blair to push his plan through for a national ID card, which he claims is necessary to fight the war on terror. Recent polls indicated 80% of the population were against that ID card plan. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do. If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Business goes on as usual. The corn and the profits are high, and TVs boom in every living room. They tell us what deodorants to buy. Business goes on as usual, except that my brother is dead.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. In the next hour, of course, we are going to have our Looking Black with Dr. Ron Walters. He's going to be on the phone joining us for this Looking Black segment. We have much to talk about in this week, looking back. I'm looking at this shooting, and it's interesting that in the midst of the paper, the things that were said about this Kevin Johnson, 19 years old, who is, and I've heard two different stories. One that his 12-year-old brother was shaken by the Sergeant William McEntry, and then went home, collapsed, and then died. And then the other story is that the baby was having a heart attack in front of the cop, and they were more interested in arresting him for probation violation and then helping the brother who had a heart ailment. Police refused to discuss the comments, insisting that their focus had to remain on catching Johnson. They had previously said that the cop that is dead had not been on the scene when Bam Bam, the little 12-year-old, was stricken. They first said he wasn't there. The police first said he wasn't there. Wasn't him. The family is begging him to turn to give up. These are scary times. These are tragic times. Two dead people and one soon to be dead person, I suspect. And they're already covering up and telling lies. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
First of all, I don't believe this story. from the police. I wouldn't be surprised to find out that the boy's already dead and just hasn't been found yet. If he does turn himself in, I see the same thing happening to him that happened to Emmett Till. And one thing I want to ask you, what does the law say about the citizen's right to protect himself against police, unlawful police action? You always hear about how, you know, police have to be protected and they have such a hard job. What about when police are attacking citizens unlawfully? What protection do we have? What right do we have to protect ourselves, to retaliate even? You never hear anything about that, at least I don't. The other thing is, I'm so glad that somebody else finally said what I've been thinking since yesterday morning. I have no doubt that number 10 Downing Street is in on this thing with the bombing, just like I had no doubt that 1600 Pennsylvania was in on 9/11. See, I am a student of history. I remember the Lusitania. I remember the Maine. I know that governments have no problem with sacrificing individuals to meet their own ends. And when you look at how things are going with Bush and the polls and how public opinion is turning against both Blair and he, I wouldn't be surprised to find out that this would be the and it's so opportune. This happened right at the time of this summit. I'm suspicious of the whole thing.
Thanks for your call. 45404, timing is everything, isn't it? 4540400, timing is everything. 4540400, you're on the wake-up call.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
I don't know if your listening audience, they probably heard about this story about the U.S. soldiers that occupying Iraq who shot a little girl coming from school on a bet. They said that they bet that he couldn't shoot the little girl from this distance from where he was. And then he took the bet and shot the little girl. And it's just my belief that when you find someone engaging in that type of behavior, that it's not the first time they've done something like this. It's just the first time they've been caught. And they just said that, oh, the soldier was so drunk. And the only thing they said that he's been taken off of duty, not that he'd been arrested or anything. So I want you, for those who hadn't heard that story, now you have. And one other thing, last week on your segment about the journalist was on, and you were talking about this stamp, this Mexican stamp that's just come on the market. Now, I want your listening audience to know that this caricature has been in funny books for 18 years. And why all of a sudden they decide to put this caricature on a stamp? The timing is strange to me, but for us here in the United States, since this Fox says he's not going to take it off the market because it entertains his citizens, maybe we can get some kind of ruling in our postal service that we can market whenever we see these stamps returned to sender. And I want to close with taxation without representation. And thank you very much, and have a good day.
You too. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. And in our next hour, Looking Black, Dr. Ron Walters, political scientist, African columnist. We're going to be talking to him about Looking Black, and I imagine that the stamp issue will come up. We will be talking about a whole lot of things on Looking Black. Let me get one more caller in, and then we will take to the top of the hour. Mr. Brooks?
Yes.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding. Quickly, please.
Okay. I just wanted to make a comment on this incident that happened in Kirkwood. In reference to that police officer being shot. Do you know anything about that as to why that happened or any information as to what's going on?
You must have just turned the radio on.
I did.
Okay. No, I talked about that earlier this morning. There are two different stories coming out from the family of the young man that's accused of killing the cop. from Kevin Johnson's family. The one story that I have been told and that I've talked to people about is that Kevin Johnson had a baby brother, 12 years old, named Bam Bam. Bam Bam had a heart condition. Bam Bam was, somebody called about firecrackers. This cop came out to the house about firecrackers. He shook Bam Bam. Bam Bam collapsed and had a heart attack and died. Then Kevin Johnson called the same cop back, made another report about firecrackers going off, knowing that that same cop would come back, and that's when that cop was shot. There's another story saying that the police came out to arrest Kevin Johnson. His younger brother, Bam Bam, was having a heart attack. The police were more interested in putting cuffs on Kevin than tending to his baby brother that was having a heart attack. And I got a roll.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right, thanks.
Uh-huh. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. Wake up call. I'll be back after the news with a look in black.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
From ABC News, I'm Liz White.
This has all the hallmarks of Al-Qaeda, but we are, you know, in the beginning of a very complex and lengthy investigation.
Scotland Yard Sir Ian Blair, more than 50 people died, 700 hurt in London's transit bombings. Police say each bomb used less than 10 pounds of high explosives. ABC's Brian Ross has more on the investigation.
Two different British security officials have told us they believe that at least one of the people killed in the explosion at the bus was one of the bombers. According to eyewitness accounts, someone was seen on the top floor fiddling with a bag, and then shortly after that, the explosion went off. Officials surmised that it was not intended to be a suicide bomb, and the bomb went off earlier than expected.
Many London subways and buses are running this morning, traffic lighter than normal. Some people apparently decided to take a long weekend, and others...
terrified after what happened yesterday, really. Don't really want to ever have to go on there again if I can help it.
It's a shortened final day for the G8 summit in Scotland. ABC's Anne Compton is there, and she joins us live.
Liz, Prime Minister Blair just ended the G8 summit, calling their agreements here the opposite of terrorism.
There is no hope in terrorism, nor any future in it worth living. And it is hope that is the alternative to this hatred.
The G8 leaders approved robust aid to Africa and money for the Palestinians as they create an independent state, Liz.
ABC's Anne Compton live at the G8 summit in Scotland. Tourists and anyone else without a firm foundation being told to leave the Florida Keys with Hurricane Dennis on the way.
Getting prepared for the wind and rain and being safe.
Now, are you staying or are you going?
I'm going.
Dennis, now a Category 4 storm, packing winds of 135 miles an hour, blamed for at least 5 deaths in Haiti, could hit the U.S. Gulf Coast by Sunday. This is ABC News.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs, regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join, and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened this store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gastonia.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
Lee Fastow has left a halfway house. The wife of the former Enron finance chief pleaded guilty last year to a misdemeanor tax crime for not reporting on joint tax returns, money she and her husband pocketed from illegal dealings at Enron. A German court has convicted the teenager who created Sasser, the worm of computer sabotage. He was given a suspended sentence. And baseball strikes out at the Olympic Games. ABC's Alex Stone has more on that.
Baseball may be America's favorite pastime, but apparently the rest of the world can do without it. The International Olympic Committee has voted to get rid of baseball and softball from the 2012 Olympic Games in London. Baseball has not been the most popular sport at the Games, and IOC leaders say their vote proves it. Plus, they say getting rid of bats and balls makes room for sports like golf and karate. Alex Stone, ABC News.
I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning. I'm Rich LaCroix with the WGNU News update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, patrols have been upped at Lambert-St. Louis International Airport in response to yesterday's attacks on London's mass transit system, but the security alert level remains the same. The raising of the U.S. terror alert level to orange, or high, only affects rail and mass transit systems. The overall terror alert level remains at yellow, or elevated. Lambert officials say stepping up patrols is just an added precaution. One man is dead following a shooting outside of a convenience store yesterday afternoon. Police say 39-year-old Andrew Hinton was killed at the intersection of Grand and Penrose at 4:14 p.m. There are no suspects or motives at this time. A small solar energy array is up and running at Parkway Northeast Middle School. The 1-kilowatt array, enough to power about 10 100-watt light bulbs, is the first of its kind to be installed at a Missouri school. Greg Lovett, the managing supervisor of products and services at Ameren UE, says the array is part of an effort to teach students about energy efficiency.
We know that students need, you know, something hands-on that they can actually see, because energy is, you know, it's in the outlets and it's hard to get a grasp on it.
About 15 schools, including several in the St. Louis area, will receive similar solar panels over the next 2 years through the Missouri Schools Going Solar Project. The nation's uninsured are going without health care because they simply cannot afford it. According to a new survey, 2/3 of women who had no health insurance and more than a quarter of young and middle-aged women went without medical care because of the additional expense. The study by the Kaiser Family Foundation found a growing number of women are not getting mammograms, nor are they talking to health professionals about smoking, alcohol use, and proper diet. A Kaiser spokeswoman said the growth in health care costs has become a central women's health issue. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Make sure your car is ready for summer driving with Napa TruStop brake pads, starting as low as $10.49. You'll get safe, reliable braking at a competitive price. Napa, get the good stuff. That's the news up to 7 o'clock this Friday morning. I'm Rich LaCroix for WGNU News. More local news comes your way in 1 hour here on Radio 920. Let's take another check on traffic now with Howard Morton.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. I-44 between mile marker 203 and 214. Look for traffic to be down in one lane in both directions due to construction. Westbound Lake traffic should use US 50. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchard Bridge, major road construction. Only the two left lanes are getting through. Traffic slows before 94 all the way to 5th Street. 55 between 70 and Virginia, north going northbound. Look for normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between Lewis and 270, no problems there. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley, very heavy volume already in your 7 o'clock hour. Westbound 270 between West Florissant and Washington Elizabeth. Look for heavy volume due to slow traffic, and then it slows from New Florissant all the way into 170. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks all the way to Lehme Ferry. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and 270. Look for traffic to be flowing freely. Your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 from Tudor all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic there. Westbound 64, 5570. Look for normal traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing. Look for no problems to report. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know mosquitoes don't live through the winter, but their eggs do? The Orkin Man knows. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN for $30 off your first pest control service. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Pretty much the same all the way through. For the most part, mostly sunny skies today with a high near 90. This evening, mostly clear with a low around the mid-60s. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 90. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And Sunday, you guessed it, mostly sunny with a high near 90. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call, It's Looking Black. That's up next with Liz Brown and her special guest. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. We're having problems with our technical difficulties with our guest. So we're going to take some of your calls now, as we attempt to make a connection with our guest, Dr. Ron Walters. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me at 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And, of course, you can check out my website at Liz Brown, LizBrown.com. That's LizBrown.com. I have my column up on the website. I would love for you all to take a look at that. Shoot me some comments on that. LizBrown.com. That's the first page of the website. We will have the rest of the website with all of the bells and whistles on very shortly. But for now, I'm going to be running a different column or two each week. So stay tuned for the looking or through brown eyes. So when you go to my website, look for through brown eyes. That would be my eyes. And the column this week is Lightning Strikes Twice. Check it out. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And don't forget, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net and archive daily at whiterosesociety.org. I'm there every day. And you can also find other progressive radio shows archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour this week, that's okay. Go get an hour. You can go get it at whiterosesociety.org. And don't forget, we broadcast every day, every single day, every morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and beyond on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Ooh, we have much to talk about, much to talk about. Let's get some of it done. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Liz.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yes, what's on your mind?
Well, I read the American and I think it was the Argus newspaper about the Citizen Review Board, the police department, and I think that the bill that the Alderman Terry Kennedy has is very good. But I'm not for subpoena power.
Oh, that's so weak.
Oh, no, what do you think?
That is so weak. Why wouldn't you be for subpoena power? That's so weak. Why wouldn't you be for subpoena power? Neither is Francis Slay, by the way, so, but go ahead. Why aren't you?
Francis Slay is not for the members being elected.
And he's, I know. How about you on that? Are you with him on that, too?
I think that the...
Anyway, back to subpoena power. Why aren't you supporting subpoena power?
Well, I think then it makes it unbalanced then.
Makes what unbalanced where?
Makes what unbalanced? I think that the process would be unbalanced as far as it being a fair review board.
Huh? Why?
Why?
W-H-Y. Why?
Well, I think the people would not be impartial, the members.
Huh? How does that work? Explain how would the members of the review board not be impartial because of subpoena power? Explain that.
Well, they would go in with their mind set. I mean, as far as there would be a lot of things that would not be right.
Like, name one thing, since there are so many of them, name one thing that would not be right if there was subpoena power.
Well, it would be unfair to the policeman.
Why?
Why? Because what I would say, people would go in with unbalanced minds.
Why? Why would a board member having... Do you know what subpoena power is? What is subpoena power?
Well, subpoena power is gathering information, facts.
What else is it? You don't even know what subpoena power is, do you? For real, you don't.
Well, you explain.
I'm trying to get to why a person would take Slay's position that I don't support subpoena power when you don't even know what subpoena power is. How can a person have a position on an issue when you don't even know what the issue is? All that suggests to anybody that is listening is that you're only interested in carrying the water for somebody else. Why? Explain what subpoena power is, since you are in opposition to it. Explain what it is.
Well, subpoena power is, I think, it's supposed to be gathering facts or evidence that is not revealed or they think more information is needed.
And
same as in Congress.
Okay, so I'm going to, just for the sake of this discussion, say that that is the definition of subpoena power. It's not, but let's just say that it is. Why would you be opposed to the ability of somebody to go out and gather information? Why would you be opposed to that?
Well, the information.
Okay, we have to go. We have Dr. Walters, Dr. Ron Walters, on the line. This is Looking Black. We have much, much, much to talk about, folks. And let's get Looking Black started. Dr. Walters, good morning.
Fine, how are you?
How are you?
Fine.
Very good. It has been a pretty interesting week. Are there some stories out there that caught your eye? Because I would love to get your take on the Mexican stamp issue.
Oh, boy. The Mexican stamp issue is something that I think we found in a number of countries. Basically, it has to do with the fact that the American media is so strong and has consistently pervaded these racist, stereotypical images of African Americans. That almost wherever you go in the world, there is this problem that you automatically confront people with attitudes that have already typecast you. Mexico, right next to us, is no different. And the interesting thing about Mexico is that it is right next to us, and it doesn't seem to have absorbed sort of the social transformation that has occurred in this country over the last 100 years, so that automatically they would consider something like that offensive. They don't apparently consider it offensive to have stereotypical and racist images on the stamps. But that is a real puzzle, that why a country right next door, Canada, seems to have done that, and I think a lot of it has to do with the language and cultural difference. But Mexico, right next door, hasn't.
And the other part of it is that there is almost prideful, almost attitude that the President Fox has, just this attitude about, we like it. I don't care if you don't like it. This is part of our history. Our history is we have the right in our history to continue to stereotype people of African descent.
Right, and I think that a part of that, of course, has to do with the fact that they have, like many countries, marginalized their own black population.
Correct.
And that population has not yet mobilized to fight back. So what happened is that Reverend Jesse Jackson and Reverend Al Sharpton flew down there to try to take their place. I think a probably better thing would have done, and I love both of them, I know them, work with them, but I think a better thing would have been to make contact with the black organizations that are there, and there are a few, Afro-Mexican organizations, and lift them up so that they could carry on that fight.
Absolutely. Because that's where they live, that is their interest, and now that the world's attention is on it, on them, that gives them more empowerment.
That's right.
So what other stories out there caught your eye?
Well, obviously the biggest one has to do with the judges. The transformation of the NAACP leadership, if it is a transformation, obviously the continuation of the war, these things are going to be the biggest stories with us over the summer and going into the fall. The slide in George Bush's favorability ratings and his desperate attempt to try to fight back. And so we're looking most immediately, though, at the question of judges. Got this resignation of Associate Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, and that's touched off a war which both sides really have been gearing up for over the course of the last 6 months to try to influence the decision of who goes in there.
Now, there is some talk about... First of all, I've heard and read that there were some surprises that it was O'Connor and not Rehnquist, and because it was O'Connor, that kind of throws the changes the short list that George W. Bush had all along. That they're now beginning to they are considering women if it had been Rehnquist, they would not have been. Are there any people of African descent that are on that list? Is from what you know?
Well, the only one, of course, is. Janice Rogers Brown, who was just confirmed for the federal bench. And partly because she is a woman and an African American, but because she is a woman and because she has just gone through a confirmation fight. But that's the only one, of course.
And she would be a nightmare.
Well, she would. There are some other women. The other woman that was confirmed with her is on that list, and I think there is one other one, but whose name I can't recall right now. But I think those are the only ones that are being considered. I don't expect that the woman would be considered necessarily. I think that this is pretty much sort of cut and dried for Attorney General Gonzalez.
And I've noticed something that I've never seen before, George W. Bush admonishing his support base.
Yes, and that's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Saying, look, leave this guy alone. Mm-hmm. He's my friend, you know, and I'm loyal to my friends, was his statement. All of which led me to believe that he really does want Attorney General Gonzalez really to have this post. It would be an historic choice. It would be the first Hispanic, and I don't think that the fact that he is the woman really is material here.
Oh, I certainly don't think it is material to. It would only be material strategically. It's never material as an important point to him. But if Alberto Gonzalez is his name is put out there, how do you see the fight ratcheting up around him?
Well, his name is already out there.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on is something very interesting. The radical right has said that they don't like him because he has not been strong enough on the issue of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So that the president, that's where the president came in and said, look, you know, let's tamp down the fervor here.
He's even gone so far as to say, you know, don't pay attention to these groups out here talking.
That's right.
And then that's huge. That is very huge.
Well, it is. What he's trying to do, though, is statements about tamping down the fervor on both sides, is to sort of take some of the political heat out of it. He's not going to be able to do that.
Mm.
Gonzalez is viewed as a moderate in some quarters, and that's what has the right wing, the far right wing, upset and anxious.
And in terms of how this would impact upon the community of African descent, how this would impact on civil rights, how this would impact on equal rights, on minimum wage, how do you see it coming down if Alberto Gonzalez is the selection?
Well, it's interesting. He's been on both sides of the affirmative action issue, and that's another thing, I think, that gives them the sense that he is a little more moderate than they would like. So that it's hard to say. In some ways, he would be like a Justice O'Connor, who was on both sides of a series of issues. Although, in general, I've written this week in my column that she is a conservative. She was a conservative. And therefore, only to the extent that you take into consideration the interests of the majority, was she considered a moderate. But for blacks, she was certainly considered a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you've got the same kind of person here who is essentially a conservative. But with respect to a whole range of issues, he might be the swing vote. In that sense, they would consider him a moderate. So I don't know where he would come down on issues like affirmative action. My sense is that because he played a role with the president in fashioning the president's response to the Michigan case last year, that he would be opposed to affirmative action.
And we already know where he stands on terms of prisoner rights.
That's right.
We're very clear on that.
You know where he stands on that. The question of abortion, I think he probably would come down where the law is at the moment on the question of abortion. I think with respect to property rights and economic issues, I think I think he would come down where Bush has been on those, on the pro-business side, the pro-corporate side of the ledger, and that would define his conservatism.
And I think when George W. Bush makes this statement, he is my friend, he's not telling any lie. They go way back.
Way back, that's right, and when he was a young lawyer. And in a sense, Bush really has shepherded him almost every step of the way. It's almost like Clarence Thomas and his
relationship
to Senator Danforth of Missouri.
Only bigger because Clarence didn't go anywhere prior to getting to the Supreme Court for real. Comparatively speaking.
He didn't, but the point was that Senator Danforth, ever since he was a student coming out of Yale, shepherded him almost every step of the way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I guess my observation is that George Bush has done so much more for Alberto Gonzalez to make the loyalties of Alberto Gonzalez to Bush even more so.
Well, yes, but there is, I'm not sure of that because, again, Senator Danforth was in Clarence Thomas's corner at every step, was the guy who led his confirmation battle to the Supreme Court, and then only stepped out after he got that. So I think there's a similarity here that's almost exact.
Okay. And we're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, Looking Black, with Dr. Ron Walters, political scientist at the University of Maryland and columnist for National Newspaper Publishers Association. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Stay with me.
What you know about being poor? What you know about borrowing from the neighbor next door? What you know about going around? What you know about having?
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge, there's an accident that's been cleared, but traffic is back up approaching 4th Street. Eastbound 40 at 270, there's an accident that's been cleared as well. It's over on the right shoulder, but traffic slows in pockets from 141 all the way to 270. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge, major road construction. Two left lanes are open and traffic is getting through, but it's slow from 94 all the way to 5th Street. Northbound 55 between Union and Marshall, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270, no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley, look for very heavy volume in your 7:30 commute. West northbound 270 between Gravoy and Clayton, look for nothing to report there. Westbound 270 between West Florissant and Washington Elizabeth, look for heavy volume between around that area, and then it slows again around the right lane from New Florissant all the way into 170. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, expect normal traffic. Westbound 40 at Hanley, look for slow volume in the right lane. Your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for normal traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything is running smoothly this hour. And Grand at Bell, there's a report of an injury accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. There's never been a better time to get to your Chrysler dealer than right now for the Summer Sales Drive, where you can get big cash allowances or low financing on some of Chrysler's best products. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Pretty much the same all the way through. Mostly sunny skies today with a high near 90. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 90. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 71, both under sunny, clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the Looking Black segment, and it will return following these messages right here on AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams.
Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't know why George W. Bush was
talking about. That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Sometimes it's so boring at home when I'm sick. I'm so lonely.
What do you do at home when you're sick?
Check out patchworks.org.
What's that?
Patchworks.org. P-A-T-C-H-W-O-R-X. I've made so many new friends there.
Patchworks is a support community on the web for kids ages 5 to 18 who have illnesses, medical challenges, or disabilities. There are games to play and a show-and-tell section for your artwork and stories.
There's also a bulletin board, fun contests, and daily chat rooms.
Yeah, my mom checked it out when she signed me up. She knows I'm always safe when I'm chatting because an adult is always moderating.
Soon you will be able to visit Patchworks in Spanish. So check out Patchworks, PATCHWORX.org.
Don't forget, it's free, fun, and on the web.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Well, I think it's fine building jumbo planes, taking a ride on a cosmic train. Switch on summer from a slot machine. Just get what you want if you want, 'cause you can get anything. I know we've come a long way. We're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play?
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. I have with me this morning on this special segment of Looking Black, Dr. Ron Walters, political scientist at the University of Maryland, columnist for National Newspapers Publishers Association, joining us from Washington, D.C. Dr. Walters, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning.
You were talking about the other issues that caught your eye this week. One of them were the slipping poll numbers for George W. Bush.
Yes, I think that when we look at the progress of this war, essentially what we have is a flawed concept about, stamping out terrorism all over the world. It is a ridiculous proposition because it puts the United States in the posture of a never-ending war.
Mm.
And this is something that Americans have really never... they had the patience for a while, when it looked as though this was a patriotic response. But they've never really had the patience for these long, drawn-out wars. And so in this sense, what the pressure is developing now is a call to end it, to call for, to pull out American troops, a call to have a date certain. And so Bush is having to sort of fight that. He went on television, of course, as you know, last week, mobilized the Secretary of Defense, Don Rumsfeld, on the Sunday talk shows to try to say that we are not going anywhere soon. And that was in response to the public pressure from even his own party. So I don't know how long he's going to be able to play this game of attempting to try to fight this global war, because he can't, doesn't seem to be able to win it even in Iraq.
And,
but he is committed to stay there. He is very stubborn in that respect, because he understands that the possibility is that if he pulls out, that the logic underneath this flawed concept actually will win out, which is to say he will not be able, in this place thousands of miles away, with a different culture, with an alienated population, to actually win a war.
And if you add to that the fact that the agenda for going into the war wasn't about terrorism, it makes his decision to pull out even more difficult.
That's certainly true. I mean, because it's unraveling. It unraveled first, of course, we know, by the discovery that there were no weapons of mass destruction. It's unraveling in a whole second round by the Downing Street memo.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which have showed that actually, hey, he had this particular objective for going into Iraq when he came into office.
Does the Downing Street memo make it more unlikely that he's going to pull out? I mean, do those factors make it more unlikely that he's going to pull out?
He had a response to the Downing Street memo to say, in essence, that this memo, and as a matter of fact, he asked Tony Blair. He wouldn't actually respond to it. So both of them responded to the Downing Street memo saying, in effect, that there was no presumption here that the United States would go into Iraq from the very beginning, that this was a gradual approach. I don't think that it makes him, you know, more or less likely, because what they're trying to do is to blunt the force of the Downing Street memos altogether. The person that stepped into that is Congressman John Conyers. Had hearings on the Downing Street memo. The major media, of course, have downplayed those hearings. But then, of course, the next step for Congressman Conyers is to use that as the basis for a call for impeachment. And it is interesting, of course, that impeachment is nowhere on the landscape, essentially because Republicans control the political institutions. But if this had been a Democrat, if you look at the comparative problems here, on the one hand, a sexual indiscretion, and on the other hand, sending American people into a war, using up American resources, American lives, on the basis of a fictitious rationale. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got to ask yourself, you know, which one of these is more egregious? Which one of these qualifies under the impeachment statutes as something that you can actually run a president out of office for?
How do you see the events in London weighing in on the drumbeat to end this war here?
Well, I think it's going to continue because it tells us that the opposition to this war is not just located in Iraq. The president has tried to say that that's where we're fighting because that's where the leading edge of this is, and that is not quite the case. I mean, we've seen things develop in Spain and now England and so forth and so. How do you deal with this in terms of the deployment of resources? You know, at the end of the day, it seems to me that you've got to develop some semblance of rationale, which takes under consideration the argument that these people make about their own future, and you've got to pull back. This is not a situation that you can win militarily.
And we're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Dr. Ron Walters, political scientist at the University of Maryland, columnist for National Newspapers Publishers Association. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. Stay with me.
My lonely days are over.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline San Francisco. A California-based company says it has made the first successful test flight of an aircraft powered by liquid hydrogen. The company, AeroVironment, says a full tank of hydrogen fuel could keep the unmanned craft in the air for 24 hours. Liquid hydrogen stored on board and oxygen taken from the air are combined in fuel cells, and the resulting electricity operates the propellers. The plane resembles a glider and was first flown in late May, with a second test flight on June 2nd. The company thinks the craft could be an alternative to satellites for communications platforms, and even more important, could reduce the problem of aircraft emissions and their effect on climate change. In 2001, the company did develop and fly a solar-powered plane to an altitude of 96,000 feet. That plane was also fitted with a fuel cell propulsion system to supplement its solar power. And Dateline, Oklahoma City. Two employees of Walmart and a former worker are suing the retail giant, saying that after they filed workers' comp claims because of injuries, Walmart slashed their hours, cut their pay, and demoted them. All three are women, and one of them says as part of her workers' comp settlement, she was forced to resign. The women are seeking class action status for their lawsuit. They say many Walmart workers do not file workers' comp claims following injuries because they fear retaliation. In addition, they say stores are typically understaffed, and that creates an environment for injury. Walmart will not give out any information on how many workers' comp claims are filed against it each year. The three women are seeking more than $10,000 apiece in lost wages, benefits, earning potential, and emotional distress. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Families need look no further than the Wyndham Anatole Hotel for great summer vacation savings, offering fantastic hotel discounts and partnering with some of Dallas's best family attractions. Wyndham Anatole has the ultimate family getaway package, as low as $129.95 per night. Families are sure to enjoy the hotel's three pools, huge health club, 7-acre park, and a self-guided audio tour of the hotel's private art collection. Call 214-761-7500 or log on to WyndhamAnatole.com to make your reservations today.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Dear Lord above, don't you see I'm pining? I got tears all in my eyes. Why don't you send down that cloud with the silver lining? Lift me up to paradise. Show me that river. Why don't you take me across and wash all my troubles away. I know that lucky old son, he's got nothing to do but just roll around heaven all day.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. I'm talking to Dr. Ron Walters. Dr. Walters, we've had a couple of weeks' worth of conversation. I've done a few shows with the Jubilee organization about the African debt issue. I was impressed with the statement coming from Gaddafi about what Africa should do, and it should not go begging to these wealthier countries.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I think that there is an issue here of reparations. As far as I'm concerned, there is no such thing as an African debt. There is still a European debt, because when you look at the sum total of what the Europe has taken out of Africa in terms of us, we're sitting over here in America, calculate that and put that against the African debt.
Absolutely.
When you look at the raw materials that Europe has taken out of Africa, calculate that over 300 years and put that against the African debt. When you look at the sum total of the resources that they have benefited from, the idea of an African debt is laughable. But what we have here is the fact that African countries came into so-called independence at a time when there was a global economic system, when everything was monetized. And so in order to do something, you had to borrow money from somewhere to get it done. When Europe first went into Africa, they simply took things. There was no such thing as a global economic system that was so tight that everything had to be purchased. Africa certainly didn't have an economic system, and so that they simply took it. So these resources were relatively free. The African countries don't face that situation where resources are free. Everything had for them has to be bought. And since they don't have the resources for them, they have to face a globally monetized international economic system. That is an accident of history. But since we are talking about the past, those countries ought to take into consideration how they made their riches off of Africa. And so as far as I'm concerned, that whole idea about an African debt really is a dead one.
I love that. There is no African debt. There's a European debt.
Absolutely.
And so when we look at these gestures from these European countries or from the United States, they're empty gestures.
They're paltry. There isn't any question about it. And the United States in particular ought to, because we live here, ought to be dealing with a leadership role in this. I give him his just rewards. George Bush has done more than any other president in American history as where this is concerned. And so we've got to give him that. But the fact
well,
is,
wait a minute. How has he done more than any other president? Because I've never heard that those particular words attached to that name before, so I need some description. I've never heard those words in that order attached to him. So.
Well, it's people look at the difference between what Bill Clinton did for Africa. I mean, he went over there, but he, in terms of the money, he didn't do very much. Well, people are looking at the difference between what Bill Clinton and George Bush did, and certainly George Bush has done far more in terms of the Millennium Account, his pledge for $15 billion for the AIDS Fund and things like this. I mean, it's obvious that he has done far more. And given that, of course, he's done more than any other president that we have. The African Economic Fund, that is the Development Fund, stayed at a level of about $500 million for over 2 decades.
For an entire continent?
Yeah, that's right.
for an entire continent?
That's right. We're talking about through Carter, through Reagan, through... That's right. And so now it's up it's up. The total amount is up over $1 billion. So that in this administration, of course, it's gone up. I think in some part, although I really have not been in sympathy with their public policy, you can credit some of that with the presence of a black Secretary of State, Colin Powell, and his commitment, and to sort of increasing aid for Africa over time. But fact is that they have done more. Now, have they done enough? That's the question that I'm raising here. They have not done enough. The United States has not done enough. And so it needs to do far more. Right now, the stumbling block in terms of actually canceling debt is George Bush. The other European countries have said they're ready now to cancel substantial portions of African debt. What George Bush has said is that he will cancel the debt, but then he wants to take that out of the development fund. And everybody's crying foul.
Mm-hmm.
So he's done a lot, but I think because of the pressure of what is being spent over in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And that's the other piece of this, Dr. Walters. When we think about $500 million over 10 years for an entire continent, and you think about the hundreds of millions, the billions of dollars that's been put into a plot of land the size of California, it just blows your mind.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I never want anybody to tell me that we don't have the money.
There you go.
You know, and that's the first thing people ask you, where are you going to get the money for what you're proposing? The fact of the matter is, if this administration or any other administration wants to do something, they will make debt in order to get it done. They won't ask the question, where do we get the money from? They will tax and they will make debt. It's only when it comes to African-American priorities that people start scratching their head and asking,
and looking at the wallet,
get the money from.
And you're looking at the checkbook.
That's right. But we know now that if people want... It's a question of priorities. If their priorities are important enough to them, they will make billions, trillions of dollars of debt.
Or if they are sincere in their promises.
Well, that's right.
If they will make the money available.
That's right. But it's all a question of priorities.
Where do you see the role of the community of African descent on this issue of the European debt inflicted upon Africa?
Well, we need to continue to raise our voices, and some of the religious figures, T.D. Jakes, for example, surprise to me.
Shock to me. Shock, double shock.
Missing in action for most of the other progressive causes. But some of the ministers are raising their voice about this issue, and I think we need to continue that, to talk about this notion in real terms. We need to talk about reparations because
it all comes
back. Raises the economic history of what's going on here.
It all comes back to reparations. It's like all roads lead back to reparations.
That's right, because it is the unrequited debt that it's owed to people of African descent for being oppressed for all of these hundreds of years that has not been recognized and has not been attended to. And so since you have that, you will continue to have that. And every time you have this over in Africa or anyplace else, then the notion comes up, well, what is really owed?
Mm.
And so when you raise that question, then you have to say, you have to step back and say, well, the real question is who owes who to what it is that Europe still owes, America still owes to people of African descent.
Mm. Let me get to one quick call. Barbara, you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I wanted to ask your guest, Dr. Walters, how much of the money that George Bush has pledged has actually been paid? I heard on a news program that he pledged it, but he hasn't paid one penny, and he's going to be out of there in a minute.
Thanks for your comment.
He has paid one penny, but the problem is that he is now trying to do a little sleight of hand.
Mm.
The most recent proposition that he's put forward is that he is going to double African debt by 2010. That proposition of doubling African debt takes into consideration monies that are now in the pipeline, are being spent very slowly. So most analysts, when they look at what's in the pipeline now, say that he's talking about tripling African aid, he won't even double it by 2010, given the present rate of spending and given the changes in priorities that come about again tied to the war. That's the big thing. He's made a lot of promises. For example, he made a huge promise to deal with home ownership for African Americans, bring them up to the level of life. HUD has not had the money because, as a matter of fact, the budget has been slashed, primarily because of trying to pay for that war. But most of these promises that we see, although they sound good and the caller is right, have to be seen up against this priority of spending for the war, which has cost it right so far nearly $400 billion.
And also, it has to be seen, anything that George W. Bush has done has to be seen compared against what? If somebody did nothing and you do a little bit of something, that's more than what anybody else has done.
That's right.
Dr. Walters, I want to thank you so much for joining us on Looking Black.
It's been good to be with you.
And take care. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back with the president of NOW, Kim Gandy. We're going to be talking about Sandra Day O'Connor, what we need to be doing to mobilize and to galvanize on this issue of the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Many subways and buses are running again in London a day after the transit bombings that killed more than 50 people and hurt 700. This London commuter boarded a train today.
I consider myself brave. It's just life has to go on. But it does make you conscious of how anything can happen at any time.
London police say the attack has all the hallmarks of Al-Qaeda.
It is not the police and the intelligence services who will defeat terrorism. It is communities who defeat terrorism, and that's why we work so closely with them.
Scotland Yard Commissioner Sir Ian Blair. Let's get more from ABC's Tom Rivers. He's live in London.
Liz, it's a real-life race against the clock for the police to get to those responsible before they can strike again. The authorities need quick answers, and the massive investigation may not produce hard leads overnight. It will take time to determine the exact explosive signature and to trace possible sources. Also, reviewing thousands of hours of subway CCTV footage will again take valuable time, a commodity in short supply here, Liz.
ABC's Tom Rivers live in London. The G8 summit is ending early in Scotland. British Prime Minister Blair announced a $3 billion aid package to the Palestinian Authority. He called the agreements on Africa a beginning, not an end. And
in the end, we are convinced the politics that we represent will win and will triumph over terrorism.
Clearing out of the Keys, evacuations underway in Florida with Hurricane Dennis on the way.
This is one of those times where the laid-back lifestyle that makes the Florida Keys such a vacation hotspot may not be so good. While tourists and mobile home dwellers have been ordered out of the lower Keys, many vacationers are still seen at bars, walking up and down Duval Street. They don't seem to be taking the order too seriously.
ABC's Andrew Colton. The job market picked up a little last month. 146,000 more jobs, helping to push the jobless rate down to 5%. That's the lowest level in 4 years. This is ABC News.
The trouble with selling your house in a booming market is that you may make out like a bandit, but the owners of the next house you buy will pocket your gains. You have a larger house, but you also have a larger mortgage payment. So what have you really gained? We'll talk about a good alternative to buying up in a moment.
Today's winning advice from Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree. Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE now and have banks compete to give you 4 real offers to refinance your mortgage in just minutes. You can compare your offers and act on them immediately at LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win. See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
Instead of selling your home, give it a smart makeover. But not one so extreme that your house is the most expensive one on the block. More than anything, home prices are tied to square footage. So consider a room addition and choose the most cost-effective remodeling projects. Studies show you'll get back 92% of the money you spend to remodel your kitchen, about the same on new siding and bathrooms. And that's a smart makeover.
Vice President Cheney's at a D.C. hospital for a checkup.
It's described as a routine exam for the 64-year-old vice president who's had 4 heart attacks. Doctors at George Washington University Hospital are checking the condition of the high-tech pacemaker that was implanted in his chest 4 years ago. Last year, a review found it was working fine and had never been activated. A spokeswoman said the exam includes a number of tests, including a general physical, an electrocardiogram, an echocardiogram, and a stress test. He planned to be back at work later in the day and pay a condolence call on the British Embassy. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
A scary-looking serpent is making the rounds on email. Its tail gets taller with each telling. It's grown to 8 feet long, would you believe, more than 100 pounds, from Clay County, West Virginia. Experts say it's a western diamondback rattler. They don't live in West Virginia, and it's probably held very close to the camera to make it look larger. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning. I'm Rich LaCroix with the WGNU News Update for this 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, in the wake of yesterday's terrorist blast in London, two area politicians and a St. Louis professor say it's important to disrupt the terror networks. While Republican Illinois Congressman John Shimkus says yesterday's attacks support why the U.S. needs to continue to fight the war on terrorism, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, a Democrat, says yesterday's attacks are a reminder of our vulnerability to worldwide terrorism. Jean-Robert Legay-Fillieu, a political science professor at St. Louis University, says he thinks the terrorists hate anyone who has Western ideals. There were 37 fatalities and more than 700 injuries following the four blasts that tore through at least three London subway stations and one of the city's famed double-decker buses. Investigators say a Bethalto woman whose body was found Wednesday was shot to death. 36-year-old Paula Weinman apparently died of a gunshot wound to the head. Weinman was last seen talking to four men at Patio's Bar near Busch Stadium Friday night. Her body was found near Route 157 and West Main Street in Belleville Wednesday. Anyone with information is asked to call the Major Case Squad at 618-234-1218. Barnes Jewish Hospital is the only St. Louis area hospital to place in the top 10 in an upcoming America's Best Hospitals issue put out by U.S. News and World Report. Andy Ziskind, the president of the hospital, says the recognition is a great one.
We've moved up from number 8, and we're absolutely delighted. I think what this recognizes is the quality of care that we're able to provide with the staff at Barnes Jewish Hospital in conjunction with the faculty at Washington University School of Medicine.
The hospital also ranked in the top 15 for individual specialties. Other hospitals in the St. Louis area are also being recognized. St. Louis Children's Hospital ranked as the 13th best pediatric hospital in the country, and St. Louis University's Hospital Geriatrics Program came in at number 8. The America's Best Hospital issue hits the newsstands Monday. And finally this hour, if you're heading out of town for the weekend, be careful how much you pack. Extra junk in the trunk can slow you down and cost you money. Andy Atcho, Worldwide Director of Environmental Outreach and Strategy for Ford Motor Company, says one way to improve fuel economy is to lose weight in your trunk. Every extra 100 pounds you carry in your trunk reduces your fuel economy by 1%. Atcho says speed also plays a major factor in fuel economy. In highway driving, 50% of the energy required to power your vehicle goes to overcoming aerodynamic drag. So the faster you go, the worse your fuel economy will be. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Right now, only at Napa, you can buy an official Napa Race Stars and Stripes hat, the same one worn by NASCAR driver Michael Waltrip, for only $3.99. Napa, get the good stuff. That's the news up to 8 o'clock this Friday morning. I'm Rich LaCroix for WGNU News. More local news comes your way in 1 hour here on Radio 920. Right now, let's take another look at traffic. Here once again is Howard Morton.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Northbound 170 at Olive, a disabled vehicle in a left turn lane, and that has a block on the exit ramp. Traffic is backed up at that exit. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain and New Florissant, look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. All lanes are now open. I-44 at mile marker 203 and 214 through Cuba, Missouri. The traffic is backed up to one lane in both directions for construction. Westbound Lake traffic should use US 50 to get around that mark. Northbound 55 between Germania and Lafayette, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270, that traffic is starting to ease up this hour. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Handley, look for everything to be running smoothly. Northbound 270 slows on either side of 44 all the way to Marshall Road. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks
Bridge all the way into Lindbergh. Look for normal traffic. Eastbound 40 at Mason Road, that traffic is starting to ease. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, however, look for slow traffic. And your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 64 between 5570 split, look for normal traffic this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before LaClean's Landing, everything is on the move. Westbound 5570 between 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, however, you can expect stop-and-go traffic in your 8 a.m. commute. Also in both directions, I-44 at Jamerson, there's bridge maintenance operations that has various lane closures. Use caution when you roll up to that area. And in both directions, 21 between 67, which is Lindbergh, and Gravois, they have paving operations as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for a hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800, the number 2-DONATE, or you can visit taxdeduction.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Pretty much the same all the way through. Mostly sunny today, a high near 90. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 90. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we're warming up a bit. We have 73 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. find it very interesting. I find it very amusing. As we move towards this place in our nation's history where it is time to make another appointment to the United States Supreme Court. And what is different about the year 2005 that wasn't occurring in 1995 are the hundreds of millions of dollars that are just out there vibrating, ready to be spent on a campaign to influence George Bush in his decision or on his selection of the next Supreme Court justice. And most of that money is coming from people that have been missing in action on every other important issue in the everyday lives of everyday citizens out here. And what is amusing in the year 2005 with $100 million ready to be spent? I mean, that was in an article in The Guardian. They are looking slack-jawed at this country and the right wing's desire and efforts and intentions to seat someone on the Supreme Court. They're looking slack-jawed at us a bit because what is amusing about this is George. It's gotten so bad. George Bush is starting to feel what we feel. From the crazy folks on the right. It's gotten so bad that George W. Bush has actually had to say, y'all need to hush up and sit down. Because you're not telling me what to do. Well, George, you know, yeah. But it's not just on this issue. That's how bad it has gotten. And we need to talk about what is at stake. Why are these groups out here, these right-wing intolerant groups, out here ready to spend $100 million of their money to make a decision, to influence the decision of who is going to be on the United States Supreme Court? We need to talk about why they're willing to do that, how important of a decision this is. And to that end, I have, to facilitate that conversation, the president of NOW, Kim Gandy. She's joining us from Shreveport, Louisiana. Kim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Liz?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, wonderful.
Isn't that funny? I mean, he's telling them to shut up and sit down.
Well, it's about time. But I don't think that's going to change his behavior just because he gets irritated by the people who are his primary supporters and motivators.
How important of a decision is this, Kim? How important is the Supreme Court nominee?
It is absolutely critical, particularly for the O'Connor vacancy, although the rumors are hot and heavy that Chief Justice Rehnquist may resign today.
Mm.
That is, there is reportedly going to be an announcement between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m.
Mm.
This morning, another 45 minutes. So we are all waiting with bated breath to see whether there will be two vacancies on the court. But Sandra Day O'Connor is so important simply because she was the swing vote so often. When we lost cases that were important to women's rights or civil rights, it was often because she voted the wrong way. And when we won them, it was because she voted the right way. And without her vote, if she were replaced by someone who was an absolutely solid and predictable vote against us, then we would have lost all those cases instead of only losing some of them. Now, that may not sound very optimistic, but when faced with the prospect of losing all of them as opposed to some of them, she starts to look like a very, very important vote for our side.
And that's just a dreadful commentary about where we are.
It is indeed.
Now, with regard to the issue of Sandra Day O'Connor being a woman, she broke that barrier. She was the first woman appointed to the United States Supreme Court. How did women fare as a result of her being there?
Well, she definitely made a difference in the attitude towards women lawyers. I can I can say that from personal experience, having been a young lawyer in 1981 when she was appointed, practicing law in Louisiana, where suddenly the male lawyers treated us just a little bit differently. Like, oh, wow, maybe they really are lawyers, these women.
Mm.
they can be on the Supreme Court. It wasn't huge, but it made a little difference. And where it started making a bigger difference was when she hit her stride on the court. For instance, she was the deciding vote in allowing race to be used as one of many factors in considering college entry and college admissions. Race-based affirmative action is allowed to exist in minimal form, I'm afraid, but to exist at all because of her deciding vote. It was her deciding vote that said that state legislatures could take race into account as one of many factors in making their decisions on redistricting for congressional seats. It was her one vote that said that when your health insurer, when your HMO denies you treatment for your illness, that you are entitled to a second opinion from a doctor and not from a bureaucrat. She was the deciding vote on the Clean Air Act. She was the deciding vote on Title IX, which is equal educational opportunity for girls, that a teacher cannot be fired for protesting that girls are being discriminated against in the school. In this case, it was the girls' sports team that had to use the boys' old uniforms and have the worst practice times. And the girls' coach, said, wait a minute, this isn't fair. The girls' team shouldn't be treated so badly compared to the boys' team, and he was fired. And it was only because of her one vote that the court said, well, yeah, if the teachers can't stand up for the girls, what good is a law saying you can't discriminate against the girls?
Mm.
Americans with Disabilities Act. She was the deciding vote that the ADA was even constitutional. And if someone like Janice Rogers Brown were to replace her, we'd lose the Americans with Disabilities Act. We'd lose the right to sue under Title IX, Equal Educational Opportunity. The Family and Medical Leave Act was upheld recently by a two-vote margin. And guess what? The two votes were Sandra Day O'Connor and, surprise, William Rehnquist.
So when we look at these possible two openings, what are we looking at in terms of those that would replace them?
Well, clearly, if Sandra Day O'Connor is replaced by someone along the lines of the judges that he's been appointing to the appellate courts, you and I talked a few weeks ago about Priscilla Owen and Janice Rogers Brown and some of these characters who literally think that government should have no role whatsoever in anything, and that by definition, any government program from the Environmental Protection, Clean Air Act, Clean Water, right through to the Family and Medical Leave Act are, by definition, wrong or unconstitutional. All of the cases that I just talked about could go the other way, and perhaps some things we haven't even thought about yet that we count on, that we assume are going to always be there for us in terms of civil rights and civil liberties and human rights, could suddenly be yanked right out from under us by only two votes. And that's why the right wing is putting so much money into this. They are salivating over the possibility of overturning all of these pieces of legislation.
And we also have a something else that we didn't have to consider 5 years ago or 10 years ago, are all of these new laws that have been put in place by George W. Bush that are being challenged in the court as we speak.
Exactly.
And those would get their day in court, and unfortunately the possibility of them getting their day in a court designed by George W. Bush is not good for us.
Well, and there's no question, too, that people really don't understand the enormous power that the Supreme Court holds and the fact that these judges, these justices, will be there for a lifetime, and you look at the ages of some of the justices on the court now, and you know that for a 40-something judge to go onto the court,
it's scary.
Clarence Thomas was in his 40s,
mm-hmm.
late 40s, but could be on the court for another 35 or 40 years, not just haunting us, but haunting our children.
And our children's children.
Indeed.
So when we look at that, at the people that George W. Bush is throwing around, we've heard the name of Janice Brown, like you said, but we've also Alberto Gonzalez.
Yes. And it's interesting because certainly none of us who opposed his elevation to Attorney General over the Abu Ghraib situation and so many of the other things.
Hello? We lost our connection with Kim Gandy. We're going to get that right back. And in the meantime, I want you to know that we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. You can also get a copy of the show at whiterosesociety.org. We are actually archived there daily. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. And our other number is 314-454-0400. That's our local number. And our long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Also, take some time to go to LizBrown.com. That's LizBrown.com. Check out the website. Have a new article up there. It is called Lightning Strikes Twice. So visit LizBrown.com. Check out my column this week. You can always comment on the column, LizBrown.com. We are back with Kim Gandy, president of NOW, who's joining us from Shreveport, Louisiana. Kim, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. I don't know what happened there. We were talking about Alberto Gonzalez, and I think lightning struck a third time.
There you go. There you go. So back to Alberto.
Yes, there is. We opposed his elevation to Attorney General because of his involvement in the Abu Ghraib scandals and his some things that we found quite shocking in his attitude towards the Patriot Act, the so-called Patriot Act, and civil liberties. But it's interesting that the right wing has decided that he is now, terrible because a very long time ago when he was on the Supreme Court with Priscilla Owen, he criticized one of her decisions as being an unconscionable act of judicial activism.
That's right. He sure
thereby
did.
Setting himself up, at least in theory, as a person who would not be a judicial activist on a lower court. And, of course, that's exactly what the conservatives want. They want someone who will be a judicial activist, who will overturn legislation right and left that they don't like, going all the way back to the Social Security establishment, going all the way back to the New Deal. On the other hand, I have no reason to think that just because as a short-term member of the Texas Supreme Court, he said, okay, this is the Supreme Court's precedent, we have to apply it, that would bind him in any way as a member of the Supreme Court, because, of course, once you are on the Supreme Court, then you get to decide.
And you can, for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life. And certainly we are very uncomfortable with Gonzalez's positions on a wide range of civil liberties and issues like that, but also on the issue that the right wing is so upset about. They are convinced that he supports Roe v. Wade, that he supports women's reproductive rights, and frankly, I would be delighted if that were the case, but I have no reason to think it is. In fact, in the case that they frequently cite, he made a point of saying, my personal opinions are not at issue here. What's at issue is how the law must be applied, and that's our responsibility as judges.
Well, that sounds like a bit of a confession.
Well, it sort of sounds like he disagreed with what he was obligated to do as a judge.
That's what I'm saying. That sounds like a confession about what his position is.
It certainly didn't give, it doesn't give me any comfort that he is a supporter of leaving Roe v. Wade intact, and with it a lot of other protections, like the right to use birth control, which was, of course is grounded in the same constitutional right to privacy that Roe v. Wade came out of just a few years later.
And I guess the thing, Kim, that is just making me, well, one of the things that's making me very, very nervous about this process and about these possibilities is the thing that stands between us and a bad decision on the court, and that's our legislators. You know, that is our United States senators and our Democratic United States senators. Alberto Gonzalez got in. Janice Brown got in. You know, Patricia Owens got in.
Yes, indeed. The wonderful compromise.
The outrage.
Some compromise.
And we have to take a quick break here. I am talking to Kim Gandy. She is the president of NOW, and she is joining us in from Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm Liz Brown. We are talking about, like Kim said, a possibility of maybe two openings on the United States Supreme Court, two opportunities for George W. Bush. Please stay with us. We have much, much more to say.
Trains go by our silo, silver in the rain. They leave our pockets full of nothing but our dreams in the golden grain. Have you seen the folks in line downtown at the station? They're all buying their tickets out and they're talking a great depression. Out in these empty fields and dust as deep as snow. And all this trouble in our fields, this rain can fall in the wounds can heal. They'll never take our native soil.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Eastbound 370 at Cave Springs and Truman Road, there's a report of an accident. Left lane is blocked. Traffic jams at Spencer. Westbound 40 between Maryville Center and 141. Look for disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked. There's no delays at this hour. Northbound 55 at Loughborough and 44, no problems there. Eastbound 44 between Antire and Merrimack River Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 40 between 270 and 170, everything's running smoothly there as well. Northbound 270 between 44, look for nothing to report at this hour. Everything seems to have cleared up. Westbound 255 from Cope to 55, expect normal traffic. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound 270 is backed up from Lilac all the way to 367 and then West Florissant as well. And your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, everything's running smoothly. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way to Laclede's Landing looks good. And westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, you still have slow traffic in your 8:30 commute. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800, the number 2, DONATE. Or you can go to tax deduction. org for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Pretty much same straight through. Sunny today, high around 90 this evening, mostly clear with a low in mid-60s. For Saturday, mostly sunny, high around 90. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in mid-60s. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under very sunny skies with a little bit of haze, we have 76 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned. More of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call as she speaks with Kim Gandy, the president of NOW. That's up. following these messages. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
It takes a village to raise a child. That African proverb has special meaning to Hope for the Nations. In locations in 20 countries worldwide, Hope for the Nations combines education, micro-enterprise, agriculture, healthcare, and housing under one roof. These villages bring together the young and the old, the healthy and the sick, singles, families, and the widowed, the weak and the strong, united to build buildings, build families, build resources, build community. It takes you and your support to help Hope for the Nations raise these villages. For more information, go online, visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
Points, Elos, points among princes. Tune in every Saturday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. The show called Roster Resolutions, only on Radio Free St. Louis, 920 on AM dial, WGNU. Also on the net at WGNU.net. 2 hours of classical roots reggae for the prophecies are told through musical instruments. Roster Resolutions.
Celebrate French heritage in historic Soulard at the 19th annual Soulard Bastille Days Festival from Friday, July 8th through Sunday, July 10th. Check out the street parade and Parisian party in the park on Friday evening, a flea market and blues concert on Saturday, and a bike race and washers tournament on Sunday. Proceeds benefit the Soulard Safety Program. Something French to do from WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This is Liz Brown, and I'm talking to the president of NOW, Kim Gandy. She's joining us from Shreveport, Louisiana. Kim, welcome back.
Very nice to be on your show again, Liz.
And it's wonderful to have you here. We were talking about our lifeline, the Democrats in the United States Senate, in fighting back bad suggestions or bad attempts by George W. Bush. What do you think about our lifeline? Do you see them being able to stand up to the fight? Do you see any hope or any ray of hope in this?
No, I have to say that at some level you always hope that they'll just stand up on their own.
That's that keep hope alive level.
Yes, exactly. You always hope that they'll just be our champions and get up there and say and do what they know is the right thing. But the reality is that we have some responsibility there as well. They are getting an enormous amount of pressure from our opposition. Our opponents have an enormous amount of money to plow into this fight, something that we don't have, and we'd use it better if we did, mm-hmm. but we don't, and they do. And so they're going to be putting an enormous amount of pressure on every senator. They're going to have lots of people writing and calling and saying, this is a great nominee, this is a wonderful find, person, you, terrible, terrible that you're even thinking of not confirming such a fine person. And those of us on our side who know better, who know the real record of these people, and we will, we've done a lot of research. It's hard to imagine that there's anyone he could appoint that we haven't done some research on, although he could go for a stealth candidate that no one's ever heard of, as he did with Clarence Thomas. Certainly, he was a stealth candidate. Otherwise, we're going to be able to say, we know about this person. We know what kinds of decisions they've cast in the past. We know where they would take the country. But it's up to our side to weigh in with those senators as well. We can't just sit back and assume that they're going to ignore all of the pressure from people who are, in fact, their constituents for the most part. It's got to be met by other constituents like us saying, hey, wait a minute, you can't put that person on the Supreme Court for 40 years. Look at what they think about our civil rights. Look at what they think about women's rights. Look at what they think about civil liberties and freedoms in this country. So we have to be prepared to push just as hard as our opponents are on these senators to urge them to do the right thing.
Let me get to Lisa's car phone. Shelley, you have a question for the president of now, Kim Gandy.
Yes, I was wondering, Kim, if the Democrats were in total power, the House and the White House and everything, wouldn't they expect a liberal-leaning judge to be appointed?
We have a bad connection on that. Did you catch the question, Kim?
I am certain that they, if the Democrats were in charge of the White House and both houses of Congress, would they expect a liberal-leaning judge to be appointed? I am certain that they would expect that, but I also know that of the nine justices that have been on the Supreme Court for the last 10 years, two of them were appointed by a Democrat, Bill Clinton. The other seven were all appointed by Republicans. And with regard to those two who were appointed by Bill Clinton,
there are no Thurgood Marshalls.
Well, there are no Thurgood Marshalls, but the caller might be interested to know who suggested those two names to Bill Clinton. It was Orrin Hatch. Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, who was the minority leader of the Senate. The Republicans were not in the majority party in the Senate. The Democrats were in the majority, and the Republicans were in the minority. So he was in the minority in the Senate, as the Democrats are now. And Bill Clinton called up Orrin Hatch and said, look, I don't want a big fight over my nominations. Is there, are there candidates that would be acceptable to everybody? Now, you know, I'm not going to appoint an ultra-conservative, but, give me some names that would be seen as acceptably moderate to the Republicans. And Orrin Hatch suggested the name of Stephen Breyer, which was not even a name that Clinton knew or had thought of. And he also suggested Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was at that time a D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals judge. And, in fact, Clinton did nominate Ginsburg, who was confirmed 99-0 or something. And she was confirmed by a very, very large margin. And when there was another resignation the next year, who did he appoint? Stephen Breyer, who also was confirmed by a very, very wide margin. That's how the process of advice and consent is supposed to work, although I was surprised myself to learn that the actual names had come from the Republicans. And indeed, they have been, both Breyer and Ginsburg have been progressive judges, but they have not been what you might consider hard left, perhaps the kind of person I would like to see on the court.
Well, when was the
last? They've been people who were moderate enough to be confirmed almost unanimously by the United States Senate. No one really thinks that George Bush is going to exercise that kind of consultation, but in response to the caller's question, I think he should. I think he should do just what Bill Clinton did and just what the Republicans before that did in consultation with the Democrats in the Senate. That's why we've had so many Supreme Court justices confirmed 98-0, 99-0.
And when we talk about the battles that, like the Clarence Thomas battles and the Bork battles, those are the exceptions.
Absolutely.
Those aren't the rules to the process.
They are totally the exception, and those became battles because the person who was the president was determined to reshape the court in his image rather than choose someone who was ideologically leaning one direction or the other, but was not so extreme or such an extremist in the case of some of George Bush's appointments that they would completely remake the court. And at this point, the court is so closely divided, 5-4, 4-5, over and over and over, that putting a hard right extremist, an ultra-conservative, into the spot of Sandra Day O'Connor, a moderate who was, by the way, appointed by President Reagan, would really reshape the court in very, very dramatic and dangerous ways.
And we're seeing rhetoric and rhetoric and noise coming from the other side about how much of a mistake she was and how much of a mistake what Kennedy was as well.
Oh, and Souter. Boy, and Souter. And complaining about Souter right and left, and they want to be sure that there's never
and these were their but let me interrupt just for a second. These were their appointees.
Exactly.
No, the Democrats didn't appoint these people. A Republican, a super Republican appointed these people.
Well, exactly. And in fact, all three of those votes, with O'Connor tends to be a swing vote, but those nominees were in fact pretty conservative. But our definition of conservative has changed as the country has become more and more conservative at the top levels. I don't think that those of us in the cities and towns are necessarily more conservative, but certainly at the top they are. When Sandra Day O'Connor was appointed, she was a conservative. Everybody said, oh, yes, she's a conservative. And by those standards, she's a conservative today. But by today's standards, she's now considered a moderate because the court has become so much more conservative.
But she's not a moderate progressive. She's a moderate conservative.
Yes.
So she still hasn't left her conservative roots.
She's still quite conservative.
Yes.
We are frequently disappointed with her decisions and not ones that we would have supported. As I said, when cases go against us, they tend to go against us 4-5 because she has voted with Rehnquist and Scalia and Thomas.
And we have to take another break. And when we come back, Kim, I'd like to talk about who do you think a good candidate for the seats would be. I'm talking to the president of NOW, Kim Gandy. She's joining us from Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm Liz Brown. Don't forget, we're archived daily on the WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you missed an hour, go get an hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Stay with us. We'll be back.
My heart's without a home. I don't want to be alone. I gotta find me an angel in my life. In my life. Too long.
Place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Egypt says it has received word this morning that its kidnapped UN ambassador has been killed. An internet statement from the Al-Qaeda organization in Baghdad is claiming responsibility for the execution of Ihad al-Sharif, who was kidnapped on Saturday. He was expected to be the first ambassador to the new Iraqi government from an Arab country. Al-Qaeda announced on Tuesday that it had him and said it was also targeting Pakistan's ambassador to Iraq, as well as another diplomat from Bahrain. And Dateline Washington, there is word circulating now that Supreme Court Chief Justice William Rehnquist will be making a statement this morning, possibly as soon as next hour. It is unknown what the substance of his statement will be, but speculation has been building for months that he planned to step down sometime after President Bush was inaugurated for his second term. Rehnquist has been plagued with health problems for the last few years, which has limited his decision-making on the bench. If he does announce his resignation, it would be the second from the High Court in the last 2 weeks. This is your wake-up call global news update.
give us some sort of game plan. P.J. Brown, if you had to shut down the Spurs.
If I'm a coach, I'm an opposing coach, and I'm playing against those guys, I let Tim Duncan have his 30 and 15. Behind Shaq, he's definitely the second best player in the league.
How does Brett Hull want people to think of Brett Hull?
That I'm as honest as the day is long.
What has it been like for Tom Arnold?
It takes a while for people to say, well, maybe he's not that guy. And also, right before I literally married her, I got sober, completely sober, and have been for 15 and a half years. That, to me, is the biggest change in my life.
That's Sports Overdrive, weeknights from 7 to 8 on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU.
Hi, I'm Frank. The pedestrian you passed back there? You didn't even notice me. But why should you? Well, I could pop out in front of you when you least expect it. It could be a kid chasing a dog. Of course, I try to be safe. I use crosswalks, look both ways, and make eye contact with drivers. But either of us could make a mistake. So let's, you know, look out for each other.
A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. For more information, visit AAOS.org.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Sometimes I wonder just what am I fighting for? I win some battles, but I always lose the war. I keep right on stumbling, and there's no man's land out here. But I know, yes, I know, there must be a better world somewhere.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back. That's some Shreveport music, isn't it?
Sounds like it.
Kim Gandy, president of NOW. We're talking about Supreme Court justices and nominations by this administration. Kim, I asked you on the way out, who does NOW think a good choice would be?
Well, there are great choices, and then there are people who might likely to actually come out of this administration, which could be two different things. But, you know, certainly if I were choosing, I'd love to see Eleanor Holmes Norton on the Supreme Court. She would be an amazing justice. Maria Consuelo Callahan from the Ninth Circuit has been on the Ninth Circuit for quite a long time, was fully supported by the Congressional Hispanic Caucus when she was appointed. She would be certainly someone who's acceptable. Judge Martha Craig Daughtry from the Sixth Circuit from Tennessee, first woman on the Tennessee Supreme Court, would be a good choice. Gladys Kessler from the D.C. Circuit. There are lots of great women on federal courts and on state Supreme Courts that would be perfectly acceptable choices. Judge Pam Reimer from the Ninth Circuit is another example. Women of all races who are strong supporters of fundamental rights, although they, you know, differ in their level of support, as did Sandra Day O'Connor, who supported basic rights but always found that it was okay to have exceptions, something that we wouldn't choose. But again, we don't expect to get a liberal from this administration.
We haven't had a liberal in my lifetime.
Thurgood Marshall.
Yeah, Thurgood, but I mean not appointed.
Barely in my lifetime.
But not appointed during your lifetime, was he?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Well, not appointed during my lifetime.
Yes,
we haven't
appointed during mine.
You know, so we haven't had one appointed. And we missed an opportunity with Bill Clinton because he sure didn't go with liberal.
No, he did not.
He went with
easy to confirm and trying to get along.
Exactly. So you have said, and I want to make sure I'm quoting you right, you've said that the character of the nominee must demonstrate the ability to separate her political ideology from the responsibility to fairly interpret the law and uphold democracy. Talk to us about what that means.
It's really a basic concept that you may, as an individual, hold a certain political opinion or ideology about something, But as a member of the court, the highest court in the country, your obligation is to apply the Constitution and to interpret the Constitution based on the laws and the privileges and the balance of powers in the country. The job of the Supreme Court is not to run roughshod over either the Congress or the administration simply because they have the power to do it. They're obligated to be, should be, at least in my opinion, people who are circumspect and who are willing to look at all sides and make a fair and reasonable decision based in our fundamental rights and liberties, which, after all, is what the Constitution is about. It's why there is a Constitution of the United States of America. It's grounded in the fundamental rights and liberties of individual people.
Kim, I know, as a woman of African descent, every presidential election, the Democratic candidate comes to my community and says it is so important that the Democrats be elected because they're the ones that make the Supreme Court justice decisions. They make the nomination that we have a nomination at stake. Support us, because if the Republicans make that, you know, you all are going to suffer. I feel that within my community, because I had lots and lots of fights in the last election with folks about I was not cool on Kerry, and people even within my community would come to me and say, it's so important about the nominees. You got to hold your nose and support him because it's so important about the nominees. I think it is clear within the African community about the importance of at least it's clear within many within the African community about the importance of the Supreme Court nominations and the support of the Supreme Court, the people that are on the bench. How do you see that the rest of America sees this as such an important issue?
I am not convinced that the rest of the country sees it with the level of importance it's entitled to. And to some extent, I think that's about the mainstream media. You don't hear discussions on the mainstream media about the importance of the nominee beyond the political discussion. I mean, the Sunday morning talk shows on the on the networks, you have a lot of back and forth about who's going to get their pick and how they're going to get it through this or that or pull this vote or that vote, but a whole lot less conversation about what it really means, about what it means if a person with a very, very different political philosophy replaces Sandra Day O'Connor, and what kinds of things would change, what might change about our life in this country one vote.
And I think that people don't understand, too, people that aren't lawyers, the people that don't understand what lawyers are supposed to do and what judges are supposed to do, you are not supposed to be partisan when determining the law.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I mean, because I think lost in this whole discussion is that, well, you know, we want our side to be a judge, but your side, that shouldn't weigh into the decision making. And the law says that it can't.
Right. That's exactly right. But I think people take it far too lightly. You know, I talk to people who are not, you know, politically involved, and they say, well, you know, everybody wants somebody from their side. The attitude is sort of, you know, oh, a pox on both their houses. They're all political. Without really realizing that there are real things at stake, that there are real rights and liberties at stake.
It's more like people look at it as a sporting team devotion. You know,
it's a game. Are the Republicans going to win, or are the Democrats going to win, or is George Bush going to get to pick whoever he wants, which seems to be the line of the day from the Republicans, is that he's the president, he won the election, and he should be allowed to pick whomever he wants. And the reality is that if he won very narrowly, and he ought to do what he said he would do, which was to be a uniter and not a divider. Somebody asked me if this was going to be a huge fight, and I said, you know, it's going to be a huge fight George Bush decides to make it one. If he appoints someone in the mold of Sandra Day O'Connor, who was a Reagan appointee,
appointee, someone who is a conservative, but a mainstream conservative, not an extremist conservative, then he won't have a fight. That person, although probably not a person I would pick, that person would probably be confirmed fairly easily, a mainstream conservative. If, however, he picks someone who is very extreme, then he will have a fight on his hands, and he will have invited that fight.
And he would have created another exception to the rule. I want to thank you very much. Kim Gandy, president of NOW, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Really my pleasure, Liz.
And have a great weekend.
Thanks very much.
All right. Listen, folks, bye-bye. Listen, folks, we'll be back. It's time for... It's Healthy Futures time already. And stay tuned. We're going to be watching the news. My intern, Kumba, here is going to be watching the news to see if that story comes down with Rehnquist and Rehnquist makes the decision that we think he's going to make. So stay tuned for that. This is the Wake Up Call. We'll be back with Healthy Futures. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Some very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wounds.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White.
It was shocking, but it wasn't a surprise, because I think we all knew it was going to happen. It was just a question of when.
One Londoner's reaction to yesterday's transit bombings. More than 50 people died, 700 hurt, and it's possible the death toll could go higher.
Many of these bodies have still not yet been recovered. In fact, the police told us today that one of the subway cars underneath the ground, they still cannot get to it because it's too unstable, and rescuers do not feel safe going down under there to find it.
ABC's Bob Woodruff in London. Mass transit's getting back on track.
Most of London's subway system is up and running, and so are the buses. However, there were some false alarms. Euston Station was evacuated for a short time, but people are amazingly resilient.
I don't consider myself brave. It's just life has to go on.
Here at King's Cross Station, an emergency medical unit has been set up just in case. But in many ways, for most people, it's business as usual. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
London police say the attack has all the hallmarks of Al-Qaeda. ABC's Brian Ross has more on a possible lead from the scene of the bus blast.
They believe they have a body of someone they think may, in fact, be one of the bombers. Now, this is not confirmed at this point, but that's the key in the focus of the investigation right now. That could be a big break to have not only pieces of the timer, but also a body.
The G8 summit ends early in Scotland, with British Prime Minister Tony Blair offering what he called an alternative to the hatred. He announced aid to Africa would double to $50 billion and a $3 billion package for the Palestinian Authority. Evacuations have started in the Florida Keys with Hurricane Dennis on the way.
It's moving to the northwest about 15 miles per hour, and that's going to take it across Cuba and make it a threat for the Florida Keys and the southern Florida Peninsula in the next 24 hours.
Ed Rappaport at the National Hurricane Center. Dennis now a Category 4 storm. The jobless levels, the lowest it's been in 4 years, down to 5% last month. This is ABC News.
You don't have to wait till the season's over to get Kohl's lowest prices of the summer, because starting this Friday at 8 a.m., you'll find our lowest prices of the summer on shorts, capris, tops, swimsuits, and sandals the whole family can wear. Famous maker bras and all fine and sterling silver jewelry are at their lowest prices of the summer, too. Even accessories for your home. Plus, receive a $10 reward for every $50 you spend on your Kohl's charge through Tuesday. See store for details. It may get hotter, but the prices won't get lower at Kohl's. Kohl's. Expect great things.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-2001. That's 1-800-500-2001. 1-800-500-2001.
Hurricane Dennis won't get in the way of the next space shuttle launch. ABC's Gina Sinceri is at the Kennedy Space Center.
A decision has been made not to roll Discovery back from the launch pad. Hurricane Dennis has ended its eastward drift and is no longer a threat to the Kennedy Space Center. The countdown will start Sunday evening, and if all goes well, Discovery will launch late Wednesday afternoon from the Kennedy Space Center.
30 hours of community service for the teenager convicted in Germany of creating last year's Sasser computer worm. And it's a big milestone for a summer sipper.
There's nothing more refreshing on a hot summer day. It's the Slurpee, kept cold at 28 degrees. Next week, Dallas-based 7-Eleven marks the 40th anniversary of the treat. The top Slurpee flavors today.
Coke and cherry are the top, and oftentimes people like to mix those two flavors for a cherry Coke Slurpee.
Kevin Cooper is a 7-Eleven executive. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Rich LaCroix with a WGNU News update for this 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the nation's terror alert level is at orange for trains and mass transit systems following yesterday's attacks in London. Diane Williams, a spokesperson for Metro, says the increased alert level means heightened security measures on Metrobus and Metrolink.
One of the things that's true about security is the more people know about your security, the less security is. So they're going to be working in conjunction with the FBI, Homeland Security, and the other law enforcement agencies around this area.
Bomb-sniffing dogs have been brought in to patrol Metrolink stations and the tracks. That's in addition to the security measures that are usually in place on Metrolink and Metrobus, such as security guards and cameras. Family, friends, and fellow officers will gather this afternoon to remember a Kirkwood police sergeant killed in the line of duty. Visitation for Sergeant William McKenty, who was fatally shot Tuesday night, is this afternoon at CUDA's funeral home on Gravois. A funeral mass for McKenty will be held tomorrow morning at St. Simon Catholic Church. Memorial donations can be made to the Backstoppers, P.O. Box 66927, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166. Charges have been filed in the killing of a woman whose body was found in Allerton Tuesday afternoon. Chantez Hairston of Edwardsville is charged with the murder of 20-year-old Marissa Tharp of Northern Illinois. Hairston and Tharp reportedly became acquainted while Tharp was a student at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. Hairston is in custody at the St. Clair County Jail. Surfing the web is becoming a pastime of millions of people around the world. Researchers are now questioning when it becomes an addiction. Dr. Vanessa Jansen, a pediatric psychologist at the Cleveland Clinic, who specializes in internet addiction, says there are warning signs.
Changes in sleep, their activities, and the things they do day to day, changes in their school grades and their friends, as well as unusual things like a lot of money showing up that shouldn't be in the house, mail or email coming from strange locations, phone calls in the middle of the night.
According to one estimate, 1 in 10 pre-adolescent or adolescent children spends too much time on the internet. Not all medical professionals agree that internet addiction is an actual medical condition. Jensen says it's still a problem, and children at highest risk are often home alone and lack other activities to occupy their time. More information about internet addiction can be found on the American Academy of Pediatrics website at www.aap.org. This WGNU News Report brought to you by the Air National Guard. Job description, guarding America and defending freedom. The Air National Guard is looking for someone just like you. Great training and college benefits available. Call 800-TOGO-ANG. That's 800-TOGO-ANG. That's the news up to 9 o'clock this Friday morning. I'm Richard LaCroix for WGNU News. More local news comes your way in 1 hour here on Radio 920. Now here's Howard Morton with another look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Southbound 270 at Doherty Ferry, there's a report of an accident. The shoulder is blocked. Westbound 270 at Graham Hanley, look for two left lanes blocked from an accident. I expect delays near West Florissant. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge, look for major road construction. Only two left lanes are getting through. and traffic slows near 94 all the way to 5th Street. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and 44, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Antire to 270, everything is on the move. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley, look for everything to be on the move there as well. Northbound 270 from 55 to 40, look for traffic to be rolling along steady. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lindbergh, or 55, look for normal traffic. Westbound 40 between Laclede Station and Hanley, you've got heavy volume this hour. And your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound King Bridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything's on the move. Westbound 5570 split to the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report there. Westbound 70 in the depressed section, a slow-moving maintenance vehicle, the left lane is closed. And Harvester at Cox Hill, there's a report of an accident out in St. Charles County. Also in both directions, 44 at Jamison, there's a report of bridge maintenance operations. Expect lane closures going on throughout that area. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Orkin Man. Did you know that ants talk by smell? The Orkin Man knows. He's trained to sniff out bugs and remove them. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly sunny today, high around 90. This evening, mostly clear with a low to mid-60s. Saturday, mostly sunny, high around 90 as well. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. And Sunday, mostly sunny once again with a high in the 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under sunny skies with haze, we have 76 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74 with sunny skies and haze as well. Stay tuned now. It's time for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Also, it's the Healthy Futures segment of the program, so you want to tune in for that. That comes up next following this edition of The Healthy Family. Stay tuned. More of news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
Tick season has begun in Missouri, and I found some advice on how to deal with the pests. I found a comprehensive article on ticks in this month's Missouri Conservationist magazine. It says to use tweezers or something similar to remove the tick from the skin, not your fingers. Crushing or twisting a tick as you remove it should be avoided, since any disease it's carrying could more easily spread to you. Once it's out, wash your skin with soap and water or use peroxide. Put antibiotic ointment on the bite and cover it with a bandage. Why be so careful? Well, many ticks carry serious diseases that might not show up for 10 days or more afterwards. It's a good idea to keep the tick in a plastic bag in the fridge marked with the date in case you do come down with symptoms. The tick could be analyzed to find out what disease it's carrying. Even if you don't save it, make a mental note of any tick bites and get medical attention immediately if you have symptoms. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time once again for Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides you with information on how to take better care of yourself and live a more healthy life. Remember, good health truly is in your own hands. And now, Healthy Futures with Liz Brown and our guest for this week.
Welcome to. It's Friday. This week went fast. It's Friday, and that means Healthy Futures Day, and I'm here with Linda McKirkland. Miss Linda McKirkland, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Very good. Well, let us begin where we always begin.
I always like to say thank you for the opportunity for having Healthy Futures on your show. Just let the community know that we can take control of our health, and also like to thank our sponsors, Support a Child International and Eternally Deli, for making this segment possible.
And our topic today is?
Our topic today is lead prevention,
okay.
Lead poisoning prevention. Again, another topic in the whole series of health and wellness.
And if I could just interject for one quick second, we did a show earlier this week, a two-hour segment on vaccines and mercury in the vaccines, and how it's now being revealed that there was mercury indeed in the vaccines, and that's what has attributed to this extraordinary increase of autism. We really need to pay attention to the things that are being put into our bodies, because our bodies respond to that.
Absolutely.
To that negative thing, the things that we can't see. And what our body does when those things invade our bodies.
Absolutely. And again, we live in a toxic environment. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
However, our ignorance of it does not exclude us from the harm that it does. And so the whole idea about lead poisoning, it's a part of our environment. Especially for houses and buildings that were constructed prior to 1978, it was a natural part of the paint process.
Mm-hmm.
And just going back just for a minute, you know, what is lead poisoning? What is lead? Lead is a highly toxic metal that's present in our environment in different forms, and it's highly toxic, especially when it comes in contact with the human body.
Mm.
And we just have to be aware that it is in our environment and know where it is. Now, according to the National Safety Council, they're estimating that about 400,000 children are affected every day with lead poisoning.
How many?
400,000. Now, that's according to the National Safety Council. But according to the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, they're saying that over 1 million children are affected by some levels of lead poisoning. And again, it's those kinds of statistics, because this whole idea about lead poisoning came about when the CDC, or the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, began to see an increase in lead blood levels in children in the inner cities. And so when they began to kind of survey why that was, then you'll find out that a lot of the buildings were painted using lead-based paint. And the children were actually consuming, touching, because the exposure comes from hand to mouth.
You're not thinking of a child sitting on the floor and pulling paint off of a wall and eating it. This is paint dust.
It can be paint dust, and it can be in the air. It can be when a building is torn down and it has lead in the paint and the dust particles. But a lot of times, especially in the older houses where you see the paint actually chipping, children don't know what that is, and so they just go and play with it, and the dust particles gets on their hands, and then they put things in their mouths and put them on the toys
or their toys
or the food, and so they begin to absorb the portions of lead, because children absorb about 50% of the lead that they come in contact with.
And is that by virtue of the fact that they're children?
By virtue of, because they're children. Children have more of a tendency to absorb and maintain it, because just by the fact that they are children, their systems, their bodily systems are vulnerable, and they're still developing. And so their body is taking in, and the body does not differentiate between metals or let's say calcium, calcium or lead. The body just takes it in.
Pulls it in.
It just pulls it in.
And also they're just, they're lower to the ground.
They're lower to the ground. Absolutely.
They're lower to the ground.
Absolutely.
I'm not crawling around on the floor where
on
dust, you know, that they are lower to the ground. They're going to breathe the stuff.
They're going to breathe the stuff.
They're going to touch the stuff, and it's going to get into their mouths, into their systems.
Absolutely. And then again, we have to be cautious to, again, watch and monitor our children in the environments that we live in. Just looking at some sources of where the lead might be found in the homes. You have, of course, your lead-based paints, any of your ceramic glazes, your lead crystal dishes and glassware, leaded gasoline, lead acid batteries in your automobiles, even in tobacco, even in your water. Now, why is it in the water? Because of the lead piping that they were using. Also in domestic and imported wines.
We're not talking about things that kids necessarily have access.
Right,
shouldn't have access to.
They should not.
Right.
But it's sometimes directly or indirectly. Also, your canned fruits. And because at some point they used lead-based inner surface of the cans. And so when the food is left in the cans for a long period of time, the lead seeps out into the food.
What about the toys that they play with?
The toys that they play with. I remember years ago when there was a big thing, because I came from Florida, and there was a big thing about pulling toys that had lead-based paints and all of those kind of metals that were deemed toxic for the children. And you also, again, moving on in the list, you have even your garden vegetables if they're grown in contaminated soil. And so those things come up into even the foods that we eat. And that, again, that's why we have to make certain nutritional and dietary choices about what we get and where we get them from. Also in insecticides, vinyl mini blinds, porcelain glass, glazed sinks, and bathtubs.
So you're putting your baby into a bathtub to get them clean.
If it's lead-based, and a lot of times you can have people to come in and do those kind of surveys of your home if you're really concerned about it.
So what are some of the symptoms that we have of lead poisoning?
Some of the symptoms, especially for children, it takes about several days for symptoms to manifest themselves. For adults, it takes a little longer. It could be weeks. And again, for children, their system will show it sooner because they're much more vulnerable. You might want to, again, first of all, start with some severe gastrointestinal colic, and that's like really sharp, severe pains in your abdominal area. So just for people to know, you have things like anxiety, muscle weakness, the gums will turn colors.
What colors?
Loss of appetite, arthritis, confusion, diarrhea, gout. And again, you know, these can be symptoms of other things, but the only way that you know that you or your child has been exposed is by doing a blood level test.
And that's not hard to do, is it?
And that's not hard to do. You can always contact the St. Louis City Health Department. They have a whole lead prevention program, and they always have community screenings that they do.
How often do you think we should get the testings done? If I get a test for my child, if I had a test 2 years ago.
They basically do it for children 6 months and younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I talked to one of the representatives at the in the lead prevention program, at least once a year,
mm-hmm.
if you have never been, they're trying to make lead screening a part of your routine mm-hmm. visit to the physician, especially for children,
mm-hmm.
and especially for children under 5 years old,
mm-hmm. okay.
because they're the most vulnerable ones.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're, again, advocating that in your whole repertoire of health and wellness behaviors that you make lead screening a part of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it's just that one time a year when the children are getting ready to go back to school, and you know, you make that a part of your screening, just like you would do your glucose
mm-hmm.
your glucose testing in your physical.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, we live in a toxic environment. We just gotta act like we know that.
And it's good to know. I mean, what goes on in your blood is something that's good to know, simply because there are things that you can do to make yourself and to make your child healthier.
Absolutely. And the greatest prevention is, first of all, to just be aware of your own environment,
mm-hmm.
and especially for those of us who live and or work in buildings that were built prior to 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're in our homes and if we see chipped paint, you know, just remove it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're able to, have it redone and make those kinds of choices, because it's cheaper to do that, Liz, than to face the consequences of a child having high lead levels that could eventually lead to blindness, loss of memory, mental disturbances, coma, and even death.
Now, and if we are if there is a discovery of lead in your house, there's a special way that it has to be gotten rid of. You can't just
yes.
go pick up a can of paint
absolutely.
And paint over it. You need to. There's a special way that it needs
right,
to be done.
Right, and I think that anybody who wants to do that, please contact the St. Louis City Health Department, because there are a lot of rules and regulations and follow-ups with the house, with the person who owns the house.
And there are people out there that actually do it. I mean,
outside
of the city, there
right.
are there are people that there are, first of all, you can go on the net to find out
mm-hmm.
how to the types of paints that you have to
mm-hmm.
use to go over the paint that
mm-hmm.
is contaminated. And there are people that do that. There are especially
contractors
that do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a good point, because the whole idea about our health and wellness, Liz, is to just do and begin to do. Again, we're advocating that everything is transitional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody can't go out and just redo their houses,
mm-hmm.
you know, with different carpeting and different blinds, but one step at a time.
But some people may be able to. I mean, if it's
some people may be able to.
And not only that, some people may be able to, but not everybody owns their own home. So
correct.
People can move. I mean,
you can move,
you,
yes.
You really
and don't be afraid to move.
You shouldn't if your child's health is at risk.
Absolutely.
And you have children, you have babies, and you have a house that has lead in it, you can move.
And also, you know, and we have to bring the school buildings in
mm-hmm.
to them too, because,
that's
you know,
true.
The children spend over 50% of their day in a school building,
mm-hmm.
again, where, you know, those are older buildings, and we have to take the necessary precautions as parents to make sure that if we see things on the grounds of the schools, you know, just bring it to the attention of the administrators at the school.
Let me get to this car phone here. Car phone, you have a question?
Hi, yeah. Good morning. Good morning, your guest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, if you are in a rental property and your landlord doesn't give you proper disclosure as required by state law on lead paint, who would you contact about that?
I would contact the city. I would contact the city
mm-hmm.
that you live in, and
mm-hmm.
they're either if they have a lead department, or I would contact the city health department.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
correct.
City. All right, great. Thank
because
you.
Because they are required to do that. They are required by law to do that.
Right, I know. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And let's move on to, we've gotten through the sources, some of the sources of it, and we've gotten to some of the symptoms of it. Let's talk about the long-term health effects of the of lead on children.
Okay. Again, the really the best place to start, in especially in terms of prevention, Liz, I just have to stress prevention again, and that just is a choice that we make to just get lead testing. And now when I take my children to the doctor, they will ask me, do you want your child to be tested for lead levels? And so then you have, you can make a choice and a decision. But once a child has been diagnosed with some levels of lead, there are different things that they can do. I mean, of course, you know, they always do a medical therapy. There's a treatment that's called chelation or chelation. Is when you, it's a medical treatment where you actually remove the lead from the blood.
That's what they, we talked about actually, interestingly enough, we talked about that
too?
For mercury, pulling it out. It's chelation.
Chelation. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Chelation. Thank you very much.
So
they, that is an option, but you also can do things like making sure that children are properly nourished.
And we're going to talk about that when we come back, because you are what you eat.
You are
and,
what
there
you
are,
eat.
And there are products, there are foods that you can be eating to help pull some of that out and to protect you from it coming in as well. I'm talking to Linda McKirkland, Program Director for Healthy Futures. And before we get out of here, please don't forget it's Friday. Why don't you get on over to Eternity Deli? Oh, yesterday I had some, what was it? Lasagna, not lasagna, the Parmesan.
The eggplant Parmesan.
Eggplant Parmesan. I had some of that yesterday. Absolutely fabulous. You've got to try the beets that they have are so, so good. Listen, it's all the wonderful food that you didn't, you have no idea how good healthy food can taste, how good natural food can taste, how good vegetarian food can taste. Going over to the Soul Food Buffet every day at Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid. Their number is 454-1851. Give yourself a treat. Give somebody you love a treat. Take them over to Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid. Give them a call at 454-1851. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back with Healthy Futures. Stay with me.
Nothing can ever change this love I have for you.
Get out your favorite pain medication. Point your browser to Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen at WGNU.net.
Are you looking to get your transmission fixed? Well, take it on over to Roy's Transmission, where you get great quality, great price, and great service. Some transmission shops will tell you you have to tear your transmission down to fix it. No, you don't. Take it on over to Roy's, and he will hook your transmission up, run a diagnostic on it, and tell you what's wrong with it and how much it will cost to fix it. Roy's Transmission, 5524 Riverview. That's 5524 Riverview. Or give him a call at 383-2019. 383-2019. Roy's Transmission.
To me, summer is family time. A time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
This is Healthy Future.
Why do you? Tears upon your face, soon you'll see
This is Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides information on how to take better care of your own health. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Healthy Futures. I'm here with Linda McKirkland, Program Director for Healthy Futures. And welcome back, Linda.
Thanks, Liz.
Let me get to, let's do this. Let's just continue on with our discussion with lead. And what are some of the foods that we can be eating? What are some of the dietary decisions that we can be making that help us with this, the fact that we live in a toxic world and lead is out there.
Lead is out there. Again, some ways that we can begin to reduce the amount of lead that our children comes in contact with is, again, looking at the things in your home and making some choices about changing your physical environment. Again, children are so much more vulnerable because they, especially under six, because they absorb and retain 50% of the lead that they ingest. So good nutrition, making sure that they have an adequate levels of their calcium, iron, and vitamin C and zinc. And also to decrease the amount of fatty foods in the diet, because again, all that does is create another environment for the lead toxicity to absorb into the body. Mm-hmm. Even though they do need some amounts of viable fat, mm-hmm. but to make sure that it's not a gross amount, and to also make sure that the children are eating balanced, nourished meals, because a child who ingests lead on an empty stomach will absorb more, and a child who has a balanced meal or has an adequate amount of foods to eat will be less likely to put stuff in their mouth to feel a hunger pain, because a child 6 months of age, they don't know. They if they're hungry and they see something on the floor,
they're gonna
put it in their mouth.
Let me get to a caller here. Yes.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I'm very glad to hear you two brilliant, erudite, and savant scholars, black scholars talking like that. That does a lot for me. Your sister's conversation does a lot for me. I'd like to point out to you the fact that at Marshall School in Towner Middle, we educated a lot of other bright black youth that became adults and got degrees and advanced degrees and military experience. They all end up bought and seized out of our community. Then we got to know our character. They just all our scholars.
Again, I think that we need to stick with the topic of lead poisoning here. So let's continue with the effect that the things that we can do with the foods that we eat, what we put into our bodies.
Again, as we go on, Liz, although there are what has been determined acceptable levels of lead to be in the blood, anything that's toxic to our bodies, it should not be acceptable. There should not be any acceptable levels. And if we make the kind of dietary choices, making sure that, of course, your vitamin C comes in, like your oranges and your citrus, your grapefruits, those kinds of foods. Also, a lot of your green leafy vegetables, which are your vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
And just making sure that the meal itself is well proportioned, decreasing a lot of the starches, a lot of the fats, a lot of the high proteins, and making sure that you have adequate vegetables on the plate. Because again, we really don't understand the power of fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't understand the power of them.
It just, on the one hand, it seems so easy to just think that all I have to do is eat more fruits and vegetables. And on the other hand, people are like, I'm not even going to consider that what I put into my mouth is going to make any difference in how my body responds to this.
Right. It's the old adage that whatever we can't see, it doesn't hurt us, but that's not true.
That is absolutely not true.
That's not true. And so, again, to make these kinds of decisions in terms of our environment and lead having its toxic effect, because a long-term exposure really impacts a child, and that's what all the research now is pointing to, that it really is problematic for our children.
Mm-hmm.
It's been associated with IQ deficiencies, learning disabilities, behavior issues, stunted or slighted growth, hearing impairment. I mean, a lot of different kidney damage,
mm-hmm.
because all of those systems are vulnerable in the child under 6 years old, because they're just developing, they're just forming, and it's just like anything else that we do in those early phases of life, that period of time is just critical on every level,
mm-hmm.
educational, social, medical, and that's why the push is to make sure that in the area of health and wellness, we make sure that we do all that we can for our children.
It's no joke. It's absolutely no. It is no joke raising a child and responsibilities because of the toxic world that was here before they got here.
Absolutely, that they had no control
over
at all.
They
just came into it.
Doris, you have a question.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
How you doing, Liz?
Good morning.
Okay, to your guests, I have a comment first that I understand that the tennis shoes that the children wear with the lights on them, I understand there's some mercury in there, and I was wondering if a lot of this stuff can enter into the feet and into the body.
Well, first, I haven't heard that before, Doris. I haven't heard that before. Have you heard that before,
no,
Lynn?
I haven't.
You know what? We need to, we can check into that to see if that is so.
Okay, and I have another thing that I'm concerned with. I was also wondering about the medication that we received from our doctor. If, you know, could some of those have some poison in it also?
Well, one of the places that you can always find out that they have at the library, it's a book at the library, it's called the PDR. It's called the Physician's Desk Reference.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you can always go there, take any drug that you have, go to the library, look that drug up, and in the PDR, it will tell you all of the components of that drug and what the warnings are with that drug and what the co-indicators for that drug are, everything. Everything about that drug is in the PDR.
Mm-hmm. And also, I feel also that we've probably been set up long time ago by the system, and maybe that's why we have so much arthritis and crippling and stuff now. You know, it's just emerging to the surface, and
we live in a toxic
environment. Right,
we really do, and we don't take living in a toxic environment doesn't have to be a death sentence.
Right.
There are things that we could be
doing,
eating, just things that we can be eating to protect ourselves.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, because when I was a kid, they came in our neighborhood and used to spray the DDT for the bugs, and I'm 68 years old now. And like you say, you know, it's probably in us, and they come out with now with DEET, and it's still, I believe, it's DDT.
Yeah, that's an interesting comment, because when the sprays came in our neighborhood, we ran after the spray truck. We didn't know any better.
Didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doris.
Okay,
thank
then.
You.
Bye.
Dimitri.
Good morning,
Liz.
Good
morning.
Good morning.
I can just barely hear you. Did you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead with your question, please.
Okay. It's more a statement. My wife and I raised four children, and I'm appalled at the fact that today parents and children consider eating a casual affair like the quick food shops or eating in cars. What we did, and I'm not suggesting everybody did do this, but at dinner time, we would have the children get washed and get dressed up, and when we sat down to a meal, we made it a very important part of our schedule together, and that it placed an importance on the fact that eating food is not just a perfunctory activity, but it is very, very important, and it should be treated with that kind of significance in the family. I'd like to hear your guest comment on that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
Dimitri, that's a very insightful comment, because the whole idea of eating is a social event, even within the family, and that a lot of good and positive things can take place around food and eating and the dinner hour or the lunch hour. Again, making sure that we have balanced meals, making sure that your family understands that coming together to do that and to talk and to eat and have a balanced meal is all a part of the social, emotional, and mental factors that go into eventually helping us and those children to make better lifestyle choices themselves.
Absolutely.
So that's a great point, Dimitri.
Absolutely. Now, we need to do an overview of the upcoming shows that we have.
Okay, the upcoming shows, we're going to be looking at the whole body as a system, looking at different therapies, alternative therapies that we can use in terms of advocating health and wellness, looking at more women and health issues, and making just a long-term plan and going into some more men's health issues. And so we'll have those schedules in maybe a six-month increment that maybe we can put on your website so
Very
people
good.
Would know in advance where we're going.
And our food prep?
Our food prep for this week, we're going to be doing, for this month, we're going to be doing another live salad, especially for the adults.
Okay, a grown-up salad. All
a grown-up salad.
All right, so let us end as we always end.
Again, we'd like to thank Supporter Child International and Attorneys Deli for making this show possible, and thank you, Liz. And also, our quote for this week is, I will become more aware of my environment.
I will become more aware of my environment.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that. Yes. And
in terms of reference materials, I'm going to fax you back a whole sheet of reference materials and resources that the listening audience can have access to in terms of lead poisoning and lead prevention.
Very good. And I want to remind everybody of the wonderful opportunity to take care of yourself and have a delightful way to take care of yourself, and that's go to Eternity Deli. You know, it's lovely. It's wonderful. The food is delicious. Today is lasagna day. They have their soul food buffet. I had pepper steak the other day. It was so good. Pepper steak and rice. It was so good. Go on down to Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid. The number there is 454-1851. That's 454-1851. Eternity Deli. Every single day there's something delightful to experience at Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid. Linda, thank you so much.
Thanks, Liz.
And we will see you next week. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. This is Liz Brown. Stay with me. Don't forget, this show was archived, of course, on WhiteRoseSociety.org. You might want to go check it out over the weekend, get somebody else to check it out at WhiteRoseSociety.org, because we're archived daily there. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Swelling in your legs, pills on the bed. Still your man is to show me a smile. Then walk to work about 2 or 3 miles. Mom, I'm gonna struggle with you. I'm gonna help you see the big picture. You gave me something no one can take away. You make it so easy to say I love you, mama.
Mama's in love. That's
every mama knew love.
Used to fall asleep daily in the work.
Every day.
Mama said you never have to worry again.
You never have to worry again. Mama love you. Yeah, yeah.
Mama's in love. That
mama knew love.
Used to wipe feet just to make the ends meet.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline, London. The BBC says a passenger who got off the double-decker bus yesterday morning just before it blew up thinks he may have seen the man who had the bomb that tore the bus apart. Richard Jones, a computer engineer, said in an interview this morning that he saw a man acting strangely on that bus. He said the man kept doing something with something he had inside a bag he was carrying. Jones said he thought this was odd behavior because the man was standing right next to him, and the bus was so crowded all the people had to stand face to face, but this man kept bending down and reaching into his bag. Jones says he got off the bus because it became stuck in heavy traffic, and he no sooner walked away from it when it blew up. There's also speculation that the bombings will cause government ministers to push for quick measures that will allow arrest and detainment of terror suspects. The Queen gave a speech in May that outlined plans to create more laws that would bring more suspects before the courts, a measure similar to the American version of the Patriot Act. And Dateline New York. A janitor who was in the World Trade Center on the morning of September 11th says his story of what happened on that fateful day refuses to be told by the media. 44-year-old William Rodriguez says he was in a sub-level basement office of the North Tower of the World Trade Center with about a dozen other people when they felt a tremendous explosion take place in one of the five levels below where they were. The walls cracked and the floor trembled. Then they felt a distant explosion taking place above them, which turned out to be the airliner striking the building. A man standing near the sub-level one freight elevator shaft came running in, suffering severe burns and yelling there had been an explosion down below. All the people with Rodriguez verified the same story, but even after he testified before the 9/11 Commission behind closed doors, his testimony was not included in their final report. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn on the radio, it's the return of, the revenge of, the son of... soul-soothing, foot-tapping, head-thumping talk radio. Join WGNU's resident libertarian Brett Rosen on Fridays from noon to 2 p.m. Get out your preferred headache remedy and tune in to Head-Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen. Fridays from noon to 2 here on AM 920 WGNU. Watching everything the engineer would
move. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
That's the way it used to be. Seems like a mighty long time. Shiba, shiba, my baby. Ooh, ooh, seems like a mighty long time. Oh, yeah.
Shiba, shiba, my baby.
Oh, seems like a mighty long time. This is Liz Brown. How are you out there? Look, it's Friday. We have an amazing week coming up for you. Next week, we're going to have our intern day is going to be on Monday. You're going to meet my interns. I said plural. There are four of them. Wake up call warriors, if you don't mind, that are helping me do this show throughout the summer. Today on the agenda, we are discussing the miseducation of the Negro. That's one of our assignments today after we get off the air. So I'm excited for you all to meet them and get to know them as we go through this wake-up call internship here on the wake-up call. I also want to hip you to the website, lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBROWN. .com, LizBrown.com. I want to direct you there because we have my first little page up there with my column this week. Next week we'll have a different column. But I want to get you to check out the website, take a look at the column. I want to, for those of you that don't have access to the internet, for those of you that can't get to the internet, I'm going to use Fridays to share my column with you. the end of the day to share my column with you. For the rest of you, go to the website, print it out, pass it along, and take a read at it. The column on LizBrown.com this week is Lightning Strikes Twice. Yasser Salehi is dead. He was on his way to drive his family to a swimming pool in western Baghdad when he was struck by a single bullet to the head. He died instantly. Some say he was an unintentional casualty of war. Some whisper the wolves got him. You see, since May, Dr. Salehi had been reporting on the similarities between the death squads used in El Salvador to obliterate their insurgency and the U.S. military's creation of the Wolf Brigade that has been unleashed to eliminate the Iraqi insurgency. Our government calls it Operation Lightning. To be clear, there is no shame in the game of the U.S. military. They make no secret that the Wolf Brigade is modeled after the death squads in El Salvador. In fact, up until April 2005, the main advisor to the Wolf Brigade was a man named James Steele. According to the New York Times Magazine, Jim Steele was in charge of a team of 55 Special Forces advisors in El Salvador who, quote, trained frontline battalions that were accused of significant human rights abuses. In fact, when Jim Steele was in charge, whole villages were targeted by armed forces and their inhabitants massacred. So when battered and methodically beaten dead bodies started showing up in Iraq, Dr. Salehi started reporting. Dr. Salehi wrote about bodies in the morgue with their hands tied or handcuffed behind their backs, bodies with their eyes blindfolded appearing to have been tortured, whipped with cords, and subjected to electric shocks, bodies beaten with blunt objects and shot to death, often with a single bullet, bodies found in mass graves and bodies floating in rivers. Dr. Salehi also reported that many of the members of the Wolf Brigade came from Saddam Hussein's Special Forces and Republican Guards. Indeed, these men were decorated veterans of homicide, genocide, and torture. On June 28, 2005, the Philadelphia Inquirer ran Dr. Salehi's last article. The very first sentence read, quote, "Days after Iraq's new Shiite-led government was announced on April 28th, the director of Baghdad's central morgue began noticing the bodies of Sunni Muslim men were turning up after the men had been detained by people wearing Iraqi police uniforms." Dr. Salehi, along with reporter Tom Lassiter, went on to state, quote, "Further evidence that a police force created, trained, and funded by the United States has been abusing human rights would complicate the Bush administration's effort to muster greater domestic support for its Iraq policy." The most chilling words, however, were the words from the mouth of a young man who was abducted by men in uniform. "The commandos told me to keep the body outside of the refrigerator so that the dogs could eat it, because he's a terrorist and he deserves it." Yasser Salehi, translator, physician, special correspondent, husband, father to two-year-old Dania, was killed 4 days before this story ran. Now, the Wolf Brigade says that they are patriots. They utilize television to depict the insurgency's humiliation. In fact, Terrorists in the Grip of Justice is the most watched television show in the country. They wear snappy red berets. They ride around in white $55,000 vehicles. When kids get out of hand, their parents threaten them with calling out the wolves. One young man was quoted as saying, "When I see them, I feel safe. I feel we have a country with a government." It appears Operation Lightning has quite a fan base. I remember a time in the United States when bodies with their hands tied behind their backs were found floating in rivers, bodies never identified by loved ones, bodies buried in mass graves. The organization that put them there has quite a fan base, too. A few weeks ago, during the trial of the Klansmen that helped kill and then bury the bodies of three young men, former Mayor Harlan Majeure testified that Klansman Edgar Ray Killen was a good man
And the Klan did a lot of good up here. Three young men, civil rights workers, were shot and killed 40 years ago because the law in the land of Mississippi branded them troublemakers. In 1892, Frederick Douglass said, quote, "Crime has a power to reproduce itself and to create conditions favorable to its own existence." Yasser Salehi is dead. That's Lightning Strikes Twice by me. If you want to check that out, get on over to my website at lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. Brandy, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
I was calling from Eternity to invite everybody to the Men's Health Coalition from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. with Davi Nelson, and the topic is how to minister health to your body.
And that is when?
It's tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Very good.
At Eternity.
Thank you very much, Brandy.
Thank you.
Take care. That's 11 South Euclid, too, folks. This is Liz Brown. It's been a great week, and it'll be another great week next week. Until then, stay strong.
Peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never tell you that Tom Lippert is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White.
This has all the hallmarks of Al-Qaeda, but we are, you know, in the beginning of a very complex and lengthy investigation.
Sir Ian Blair, Scotland Yard Police Commissioner. More than 50 people were killed in London's transit bombing. 700 hurt. Police say each bomb held less than 10 pounds of explosives, light enough to fit in a knapsack. London commuters got back on trains and buses.